It's showtime, folks!
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
Here's your boy Shaq Gaswadi.
This is the World Warrior Low-Key.
This is Tyrus Hilton of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels. And the Gospel According to the Fallen Angel says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the ODB 130 Pit Boom.
It's Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
One cell, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the
three-time
wrestling radio show of the year, Wrestling News Live.
Oh, it's two! It's two!
With the bad boys of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog.
He's got his own microphone, Tony. Larry, Mike.
And JJ.
All caps.
Sexy.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And the winner of the People's Choice Award is...
Wrestling News Live. Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right, guys, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. Also streaming at justin.tv. AudioWrestling.com, and of course on the Ustream page and the mobile site at SundayNightShowdown.com, as well as WrestlingNewsLive.tk. I am, of course, Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ All Caps Sexay, and we have a big show for you guys tonight, and it could get interesting. We are going to be covering some news a little later on in the broadcast. We're going to talk a little bit about this three-hour All-Star Raw, which I have actually broken the boycott for one night only to see if I'm missing anything. Well, you'll hear my thoughts on that much later in the program. But scheduled to join us here in just a few moments, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have the ninth wonder of the world, the former Intercontinental and Women's Champion, and now Vivid Video cover girl, the one and only Chyna. Joining me on the line, he is my co-host, the founder of Wrestling News Live. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dog is in the house.
Guess who's back?
Don't piss me off!
They say I'm cocky, and I say, what are they bragging, motherfucker?
Well, it's going to be interesting tonight. Reason I say that, let's take a little trip. If you remember right, when the spoilers broke and we announced that Chyna was back in wrestling, I did this big soapbox speech of how we should all embrace Chyna, welcome her back to the business, hope that, you know, round two is better for her and her life. And then I found out that, well, she just didn't care about wrestling and she went on to do porno. And I thought, well, you know, to each their own. She's a big girl. She's a grown woman. You know, I'd like to have seen her stay at TNA a little longer to see what she could have done. You know, they say wrestling matters. Well, it's definitely a place where female wrestling seems to matter more. I'd like to have seen some matchups with Chyna and Mickie James. I'd like to have seen Chyna and Tara, Chyna and ODB. I'd like to have seen Chyna and some of the guys. I could have seen a storyline where Chyna's done everything there is to do. Excuse me. And she goes into the X Division, wins the X Division title. A lot of things you could have done with Chyna because of her talent and her abilities. But she chose to do what she's doing now, and that's be one of the Vivid girls at Vivid Video. And I'm telling you right now, and I'll tell her, same thing, if you're going to be in that business, Vivid is where you want to be. The Vivid girls are the best in the business, and they are usually the more popular girls in the business. Either way, I want to see Chyna live a healthy, happy life from here on out. And whether, no matter what she chooses, whatever path she chooses, I hope that she does well. And so, depending on her mood and her personality, we'll see how this goes tonight. Other than that, we've got a huge show for you. And believe it or not, I'm going to let my partner handle all this. I will tell you that next week is the, to me, will be the biggest show in Wrestling News Live history. And I'll let my partner handle that however he wants to.
Well, should we tease it now? Or, I mean, you don't want to just, like, announce it now, do you? You want to hold off a little bit?
I will give you a hint to one guest. I gave this hint in the chat room early on during Raw tonight. I'm not going to answer you if you're correct, but I will let you know that one of our guests is a poet. And yes, he knows it.
Oh, very nice, Trey. Very nice.
So, man, now, maybe throughout the night, we'll give you some more. Crelly, if you say a word, I will come to your house and beat your ass in the sitting room. No, you cannot guess.
I would love to see you actually plop down the money to fly to Britain. That'd be awesome.
Can't be too expensive. I mean, fuck. It's just airfare. I'm not going to be there long. I'm not spending the night.
That's a good point.
And I will walk in there, whip your ass, and walk out with your Batman mask.
Did he ever get the Batman mask?
I don't know if he did or not.
I mean, that is the question.
I mean, is that really what PS3 gave their people for saying, we're sorry that we fucking, you know, had no online service for over a month?
That is.
Like I re-upped all my online services today, so all my buddies will be happy to know. I re-upped my Gold membership, my Netflix membership. You know, I'm good for another month. I can't imagine not being able to jump online with Horseman or Deadeye or Concept or some of my boys like Mac Daddy and, you know, play some Xbox Live. And what's really funny is you'd think JJ and I would always play together. We rarely play together because we don't have the same games.
True story.
I want to get, I talked to you today about Batman. Batman looks amazing. I don't know what the next big thing really is to come out that everybody's going to want to play. Other than maybe Modern Warfare 3. If that happens, then we'll all jump on that together.
No, yeah, I mean, Modern Warfare 3 looks like it's going to be a huge game, so I'm looking forward to that. I did talk to Crelly for a little bit today, and
it's a huge bitch.
And here's the thing that I found a little hilarious. He told me that his PS3 died today.
Oh.
So perhaps now it's time for Crelly to join the dark side and get an Xbox 360.
Crelly, here's the deal, buddy, and I'll tell you just like I did it. For those of you that remember the show early 2 years ago, maybe, I joined the PS3 crowd. And I had my PS3 for about a week and a half, and the motherfucker burned up on me. Well, I took it back to GameStop. I just said, you know what, give me a Xbox 360. And the theory is, at least it was then, I haven't had to buy one in a while, but at least the theory was then, if I'm going to have to replace units, because they both die, they both give you fits, but if I'm going to have to replace a piece of equipment, I want it to be the cheaper one of the two. And so I went back to Xbox. And what's ironic is, since doing that, I've yet to have to replace one. Knock on wood.
Well, I've only had one issue with my Xbox 360 that I bought back in 97. I had it for about a year and a half, close to 2 years, and then I got the Red Ring after playing Fallout 3. Mm. I sent it in. You know, about 3-4 weeks later, I got a new Xbox 360, and, you know, I've had it for a couple of years now, so it's running just fine. And now
I've got the same problem I had.
Now I don't make the same mistakes I did with the last time. I had a fan. I think the fan was using up a lot of the power supply on the Xbox 360. But now I've got the 120 gigabyte hard drive. So yeah. When I get a game that I want to play, I download it into the Xbox 360. And that way it really keeps the disc from spinning and running.
It's a different machine.
Yeah, it really makes your system run a lot smoother. So that's what I recommend, is that you download your hardware.
Call of Duty, Black Ops.
Oh, yeah.
I downloaded that, and I hardly ever hear my fan kick on. Yeah, it's funny. And for those of you, here's another interesting story for you. For those of you with big screens like I have, my big screen went out for 2 months. I took a hair dryer to the lower left-hand corner where the power supply is, put the hair dryer on it, let it heat up for 30 seconds, then turn my TV on. It fired right up. It's been working ever since.
Well, there you go.
Now, you don't want to turn it off. Once you get it on, leave it on. But it makes a world of difference from playing Xbox 360 on a 27-inch TV to a 55-inch TV.
It does make quite a difference.
But tonight, big 3-hour Raw coming off of what was, I thought, a very solid TNA pay-per-view with a few question marks, of course. Now, here's what I was thinking today. You know, we sit here as the internet, we bitch about how corny and how childish a lot of the WWE storylines are, a lot of their finishes, a lot of the shit they do. And then TNA goes outside the box, and they make you think like an adult. They make you use your adult brain for a little bit, and people want to bitch about that. You know, I didn't think that I don't think the crowd inside the asylum or inside the impact zone was worth a fuck on Sunday, to be honest with you. I thought that they didn't get the finish to the Sting-Anderson match. Basically, what had happened was, it was brilliant, something I've never seen done in wrestling in my entire time of watching it. JJ's watched a lot longer than I have, maybe he has, but essentially what happened was, Sting hit the death drop on Anderson, went for the pin, the referee hit one, Bischoff hit two, the referee looked over to hit two, and Sting thought that was three. So he stood up, thinking he had a three count. Raised his arms. Well, the referee stopped counting because Sting stood up. Sting thought he heard a three count. He did hear a three count. Only problem was, it wasn't the official's three count. The official was only on two. Bischoff added the extra slap to the mat. Anderson took control, hit the mic check, rolled him up, pinned him 1, 2, 3. Title change. Never been done like that before. I thought it was a great ending.
Well, just based on what, just
the rest of the wrestling world disagreed with me.
Well, based on what you're telling me, since I didn't see the show, that sounds pretty interesting that Bischoff would interfere in the match by slapping the mat. Did the referee admonish him at all?
He looked over at him and waved him off, like, get out of here, you know, like, because it was close to the ropes.
Okay.
And Bischoff had a hold of the rope with his left hand, the bottom rope, pulled himself up to about his waistline into the ring and slapped the mat over by where the ref was counting. The ref hit one, Bischoff hit two, the ref waved him off, hit two. Sting thought that was three and stood up. Well, it wasn't three. The referee was explaining to him that was only a two count. And while he was trying to explain it to him, bam, mic check, roll up, new champion.
So Ken Anderson, the new TNA, or excuse me, the new Impact Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion.
Yes, there was, let's see, another weird finish to a match. Oh, they ripped the shit out of this last night all over the internet, especially on the Law, which is kind of cool on Sunday nights. Granted, we had something come up. It was an emergency last night, so we didn't have a show. But Sunday Night Showdown will be on pay-per-view nights pretty much here on out. A lot of people were upset last night, missed the show. A lot of people like me are used to just hearing you guys in the background. Basically, the finish during the Bubba Ray AJ Styles match, or the Bully Ray, that was a great match. And AJ pulled the whole, you know, come on, give me all you got. Bubba gave him all he had, and AJ took it. And he was able to come back. And it was a great match. And the thing that was cool about these matches last night is it was very old school. There were no quick 10-minute squashes. There were no real run-ins. There were no, you know, weird, I don't know. It was a good, solid, old-school style pay-per-view. And the matches were very lengthy to where the guys could really get in there and tell the story of what's going on and what's led them to where they are. It was really good. And a match that I, on paper, didn't look to be that into was AJ Styles and Bully Ray. But for some reason before the match, I said in the chat room, this has a chance to be match of the night. And as they went back and forth, last man standing, AJ gets Bully Ray outside finally, climbs up to the top of the Titantron. That's not high enough, so he jumps down. Climbs up on the scaffolding next to the Titantron, which is even higher, while Bully is laid out on a table and drops basically an elbow on Bully Ray. Well, they're both laying there. The official is giving the 10 count to see which man can get to his feet first, if either. And it really looked like it was going to be a double count out. AJ was really selling the fact that he kind of hurt himself as much or more than he did Bully Ray. But as AJ was getting up, Bully Ray was on his back. And as AJ was getting to his feet, he went to all fours using his hands and feet to prop himself up. And as he did, Bully Ray kicked him in the ass and knocked him through the stage and laid him out. And Bully Ray was able to get to his feet on like 8 or 9 to win the match.
Wow.
I thought it was a very cool ending. I don't know why the internet was so butthurt with this. I really don't. Now, Styles was technically on his feet, but he was bent over with his hands on the concrete. On all fours, like a dog, basically. And that's when he got booted in the ass right into the stage. And I'm talking about the staging area that if you're standing in front of it, it's the part that is right next to the ramp that goes all the way up to where Mike Today and Taz are sitting. He pushed him through that face first from his ass, from a boot in the ass, right through that staging area. I thought it was funny. I thought it was a great ending. It was different. Everybody's got butthurt over that today. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, from that perspective, again, I didn't see the show, but from what you're telling me, I mean, it sounds like it was a pretty interesting little match. And the finish sounded pretty cool.
The referee's counting. Both guys are laying down. You're thinking, oh, man, we're going to get a double count out. And then they do the ending that they do. And everybody bitches about it all day and all night last night. I wish you'd have seen the show. Just because, yeah, the endings were different, but that was what was good about them, is that they were different.
Well, and that's a good thing.
That's the way I look at it, but then again, I don't guess, maybe I'm getting too old for wrestling. Shit, I don't know. Because I was like, holy shit. I literally typed, holy shit, that's awesome, when it happened.
Huh.
And then you listen to everybody on the internet that has a wrestling radio show and, oh, my God, how horrible TNA's pay-per-view was. You know, and I just asked people, If it was so horrible, then name me one thing that the WWE's done in 6 months that was so over the top that you're still excited about it, or that it was better than what you saw last night.
That's a fair request.
You know, I mean, I can't think of anything that the WWE has done was better than what I saw in that pay-per-view, talent-wise, match-wise, last night. You know, for all the Hogan haters, Hogan was nowhere to be found. Bischoff had a very huge impact in a match, but it was a very little appearance. I mean, he was only out there for 10 seconds. He wasn't getting involved. He was standing at the ring, just clapping, you know, shaking his head, trying to cheer on Anderson. Anderson was like, what are you doing out here? You come out here, what are you doing out here? You know, and Sting acknowledged that Bischoff was there much. You know, everybody and their brother damn near expected that, you know, Beer Money would break up last night. They didn't. They retained.
Now, was it Beer Money or was it something different? Because I heard it was Shelley and
Gun
Storm.
Gun Money, I guess, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they play that out because, you know, now they've got a title defense. So Gun Money's got the belt. Rude's out 2 more weeks. You know, Winter and Angelina Love had a segment backstage. I would say it appears to me that Angelina Love is starting to come out from underneath the spell of Winter slowly as Winter. And here's another thing that I don't understand. Winter's backstage cutting a promo. It's the only promo they went backstage for in the first hour of the whole fucking thing. And they got Winter cutting a promo, and she tells Angelina here, take these pills, and blah, 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 take your medicine is what she said. Take your medicine, yada, 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 we'll go out and win the belt, and you'll truly see, you know, that we're getting towards our goal or whatever the fuck, you know. And these idiots at the Law, they're all butthurt because they're doing a storyline where a wrestler's taking pills. Really? Really? That's like saying I watched Grand Theft Auto and went out and shot 5 people and stole a car because it was what I was doing that day watching TV. Get over it. At the end of the day, the fucking fighting in the ring is fake. The hatred between the people is fake. It's all a show. Get over it.
Like I said, man, I can't comment on it because I didn't watch it. So
Angelina Love goes out. She doesn't have the makeup in the corner of her eyes like she has lost sleep. She looked almost like herself, you know, went out there and lost the match. Winter got very involved when she could, you know. But at the end of the day, Mickie James retained. And then the two of them beat the shit out of Mickie after the match was over with. So it's not over yet. I just, overall, I thought the worst match on the card was, unfortunately, Crimson and Samoa Joe.
Really?
You know, they had this video package where Joe and Cinnamon, I call him Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
I don't know why. Crimson and Joe are in a bar fight, and it was made to be some big deal, but then they got in the ring last night, and granted, I mean, these are two guys that, well, I don't know. Samoa Joe's got a pretty decent move set. What I've seen out of Crimson, he's just more of an MMA type fighter, like a Muay Thai type guy. But, you know, they just didn't click last night for whatever reason. It was like a little bit off everywhere they went. And then Joe basically, I mean, for a quick review, Joe basically mopped the floor with Crimson last night from, you know, pillar to post, bell to bell, but Crimson got the win.
Now,
and is the crowd was way behind Joe last night. You know, whenever Crimson took the advantage, it was kind of, let's go, Crimson. You know, but there was a whole lot of Samoa Joe chants in the crowd last night.
Well, let me ask you something, Trey, real quick. As far as Cinnamon and Joe is concerned,
Don't start saying that. You'll get hooked on it like I was.
Is Cinnamon a face or a heel?
Well, and that's the thing. Crimson's the face. Somewhere, Samoa Joe has taken a heel turn, and I think it's only because he's got butt hurt over Crimson's winning streak. Well, Crimson's only been there a fucking month, dude. He hasn't got a full year under his belt. Samoa Joe's winning streak was over a year. But they're reaching so hard for something for these two guys to do that they've made Samoa Joe notice Crimson in his winning streak, and now he's got butt hurt because here comes another up-and-coming superstar with a winning streak, and he doesn't want it to be as long as his was. And that's what this is over.
Okay.
And so after Crimson gets the win last night, and the crowd's crickets, you can hear Samoa Joe without a microphone and read his lips. He says, "We're going to do this again." That was one. "We're going to do this again." So it's the start of the feud. It's going to last a little while. Another match, it was just so-so, but what did you expect? It was Big Papa Pump, who somewhere has become a heel. I guess when he started working with Jeff Jarrett, helping Jeff Jarrett out earlier this year, he became a heel.
Now, I'm confused on this one. The last time I watched TNA, it was TNA when I watched it. The last time I watched that show, he was aligned with Kurt Angle in this Main Event Mafia rebirth with like Crimson.
I want to be right. Well, they shit-canned that, obviously, for obvious reasons. Now, the way I see it is that a few weeks back, maybe a month back, they did a deal where Angle picked Jeff Jarrett's opponent for the night and Jeff Jarrett picked Angle's opponent for the night. Angle picked Matt Morgan to go against Jeff Jarrett. Well, Matt Morgan just happened to be starting a feud with Scott Steiner. So while basically they were in the middle of the match, Jeff Jarrett and Matt Morgan, Steiner came to the ring and caused interference, got the match thrown out because of his feud with Morgan. For some reason, now they've turned him heel because of that, I guess.
Wow.
So, Matt Morgan had a match last night with Scott Steiner, and it is what it was. It was two big, heavy fucking guys throwing haymakers at each other, trying to see who could get the knockout punch first. You know, Steiner did all his shit but the Frankensteiner. Morgan did all his shit. Morgan finally hit the big boot. There was a camel clutch, Steiner recliner, whatever. You know, it was just a solid, probably C-plus match. I mean, it was what it was. It didn't suck, but it wasn't nothing great. But it lasted a long time. I made the comment. It was like two superheroes with the same exact powers trying to kill each other. And that's what it was. You can imagine Superman versus Superman. That's what you'd get.
So it'd be like Superman versus Bizarro Superman, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even another one for you, Superman versus Captain Marvel, maybe, or something like that.
Because, I mean, seriously, when I think of Matt Morgan and Scott Steiner, Bizarro Superman as Superman kind of comes close to mind there.
Yeah, I mean, and it was what it was. It was two big guys just throwing their fucking best haymaker to try to take the other one out. That's what it was. Had there not been a Samoa Joe Crimson match, this one might not have looked so bad. But then you got two of the same kind of match on the card, a match apart from each other, basically. That's why. The Extreme Division, X Division match, whatever, was basically Kazarian and Kendrick just bouncing off of Abyss like ping pong. It was supposed to be a three-way match. It was basically two-on-one. Finally, Kendrick and Kazarian were able to get Abyss out of the ring, and they kind of went at each other for a little while. And I'm trying to remember how it ended. I think Kazarian hit his finish and went for the pin, and Abyss came in and threw him out of the ring and got the pin. Excuse me. or Kendrick got the finish, and vice versa. But either way, one of the little guys got their finish on the other one, and Abyss walked in and said, and grabbed him and threw him out, and then got the 1-2-3. And then he quoted Confucius, or whoever the fuck he's been channeling lately. Mustafa, something.
Mustafa.
Basically, Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle ended the show and was a great match. I thought it was a hell of a match. I read on the internet, people are saying, it wasn't even their best match between the two of them. What the fuck? You know, I mean, come on. They hit each other with each other's finishers. Jarrett even went so far as to get the guitar out for the first time in a long time. He hit the guitar, and then he, you know, cleaned all the debris out of the ring so that it wasn't obvious that he hit the guitar. Earl Hebner came down to the ring because the other Hebner had been knocked out of the ring. One of the referees had on bright blue shoes. I don't know what the story was there.
All right.
But everybody kept asking me my thoughts on the dude's shoes. I don't give a fuck if he's wearing flip-flops. Just call the match.
Apparently, Trey Fashion, or he doubles as the fashion police officer in his spare time there. He had what colored shoes? What the fuck was going on?
Bright blue, like the color of SmackDown Impact.
Oh, God. All right. You lost me on that one, but okay.
But I think he was the one that got knocked out of the ring. Anyway, Earl Hebner comes down, counts 1-2, Angle raises his arm. Jarrett says, where were you? What took you so long? Blah, 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 blah. Then they did a great series where they did the, Jarrett was going to, he said, that's it. Jarrett's going to put Kurt Angle in the tombstone. Kurt Angle reverses it. Jarrett reverses the reversal. Angle reverses the reversal of the reversal. Jarrett reversals the reversal, the reversal, the reversal. And while Kurt Angle's got his head down like he's about to be tombstoned, he takes his arms and reaches down and grabs Jeff Jarrett's ankle. Jarrett drops Kurt Angle. Now he's in the ankle lock. Somehow Jarrett gets the ropes, reverses the hold, gets out of the hold. Then Jarrett puts the ankle lock on Kurt Angle, who is having a hard time getting out of it. Finally he does, reverses the ankle lock, and gets the tap out for the victory.
You know, it's funny, I had cereal for breakfast this morning while I was eating my Fruit Loops. Apparently, I countered out of Kurt Angle's ankle lock.
Mm.
True story. It happened.
They wanted me to repeat that. Okay, it was a reversal, then a reversal of the reversal, then a reversal of the reversal from the reversal, and then a reversal of the reversal from the reversal from the reversal from the reversal.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but was this not billed as the final encounter? So
it was it.
Jeff Jarrett has won every match that they've had ever since this feud began, but in the end, Kurt Angle wins the one that really counts.
Here's why.
Every match but that one.
Here's why. The reason why is because they've played this up for weeks now, and you've heard soundbite after soundbite after soundbite from the Olympic gold medalist saying, look, Jeff, I didn't want to bring the family into this. That was all you're doing. All I wanted was you and me, man to man. But you brought Karen into this, and that's why I haven't been able to beat you, is because I've had to look out of both sides of my head and keep an eye on her and you at the same time. Now, the big deal about this match was Karen wasn't going to be there, which favored Angle. At the same time, Angle's gold medal was on the line because it was the only thing of his that Jeff hadn't taken. And they did a backstage segment, basically via satellite, of Karen Angle live in Nashville, where she said, tonight my man is going to bring home Kurt's gold medal. I'm going to put it on, go to the bedroom, and do what I do best. Basically, she just came out and said, all I do well is fuck. Which, she may be right. I don't know. She's got a lot of kids and she looks good. So, hey, maybe that is her cup of tea. But, at that point, Mike Tenay called her a ball buster, pissed her off. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Whoa, whoa. And they cut her off.
Whoa, whoa. So Mike Tenay actually had the balls to call Karen Angle a ball buster.
A ball buster.
When did
and
Mike...
Taz went, what? How did you do that? What? Oh, my God.
When did Mike Tenay become like a badass?
He was last night.
Wow.
He was like, you're a ball buster.
Wow.
It's horrible what you've done to Kurt Angle and his kids. So.
And does everybody remember what Mike Tenay started out as? He was the stat guy on WCW Nitro.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Lucha Libre style. They wear a mask for a reason. To calling Karen Angle a ball buster.
Wow. And,
awesome. Awesome.
Basically, now your new world heavyweight champion is Ken Anderson, and your new number one contender is Kurt Angle.
Wow, who didn't see that one coming?
However, interesting, though, I'm not the writer. I have nothing to do with TNA programming. But I got a feeling, had the roles been reversed and the bad guy been screwed the way that Sting was screwed in his title match, Sting will get a rematch. And the cool thing about Sting last night, if you saw Impact, at the very end of Impact, and all throughout the night, Ken Anderson had been talking about how he had gotten into Sting's head and how he was going to mock the Stinger and make fun of the Stinger. And that's why I was in your head and I was wearing all your old outfits and blah, 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 blah. Well, at the end of the night, Sting snapped and whooped the shit out of Anderson. It took face paint, red face paint, smeared it all over Anderson's face, choked him out, and while he's choking him out, he's telling him, you're going to make fun of the Stinger? You're going to get inside the Stinger's head? That's a place nobody wants to be, inside the Stinger's head. Woo! Woo! And he's choking him out. But Sting's makeup is all messed up. He looked like the Joker in the last Batman movie.
Maybe that's the direction they should go. Maybe they should have Sting come out and actually act like the Joker. Maybe that would be a new.
Well, that's what he did on the pay-per-view. He came out in his old red, the cool that he wore once or twice, the red one piece with the black scorpions on it. And then he had his makeup was all messed up like the Joker. And his hair was all fucked up last night. So it's kind of weird they started this crazy Sting on the night that he lost. So I'm sure somehow Sting is going to get involved in the Anderson Angle feud somehow. It may end up being a three-way. I don't know. Speaking of three-ways, it looks like our guest isn't going to call in tonight.
I was just about to make that. She's about 35 minutes late, so I'm thinking probably not going to happen. But I do want to thank Colin for attempting to book us China.
And this is why it's a lot easier for us in this business to pre-record these and have them all ready to go at showtime. Then we know that there's nothing going to happen. They're not going to forget. There's not going to be a mess up. You know, we'll have it. It's done. Ready to go. Well, maybe we could try for another week. Maybe something came up. You never know.
The yeah, life maybe of the something did come up, Trey.
Fucking... The life of the porn star is very, 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 very busy.
Looks like we're bringing out the reasons not to marry a porn star tonight in the commercial break.
Same thing for booking one for a radio show.
Wow.
This will not happen next week.
Oh, no. Without a doubt, this will not happen next week. We've got some big things lined up for next week. And I tell you what, since the China interview obviously isn't going to happen tonight, I'll go ahead and tell you people what we have. And no, I'm not being racist by saying you people. Don't even start.
You people? JJ, it's too early.
So you're going to let me do this?
I think that, let me say this the right way. I have chased one of these guys for 15 years. I know how much he means to me. At the same time, I know how much he means to you. And I personally think that this is a good way for me to thank you for your hard work. We talked about this off the air a little today. You know, you're doing all these shows, you're producing shows that you're not even a part of when you shouldn't be, and, you know, you put all this pressure on yourself. You know, thank God you've got a kick-ass wife at home that will let you do this and understands. This, to me, is a way of saying thank you to you. It's not much. It's not something you can open and keep on your shelf. We'll get into more stuff that you can keep on your shelf later. But this is my way of saying how much I appreciate you and your hard work. I'll let you do the announcement after we take a commercial break.
So I tell you what, guys, on that note, we're going to take a quick commercial break, come back, and basically run down the news of the week. We'll talk a little bit of Monday Night Raw, what happened tonight. It's still ongoing for me. But we'll talk about that, and we're going to be taking your phone calls and your emails later on the show. But with that said, it's time for the first commercial break.
Hey, guys, this is Concept, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live right here on the S&S Radio Network.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in-ring wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring.
Audio Sling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
This is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain, and I'm on Planet Jarrett right now, listening to Wrestling News Live.
The following is a public service announcement from Wrestling News Live.
Reasons not to marry a porn star.
Did you hear the news that Tito Ortiz was arrested for domestically abusing his girlfriend, Jenna Jameson?
Well, he probably tried to fuck her, and it was like throwing a hot dog down a hallway, and he just said, "What the fuck? Where have you been? Slap."
That reminds me of the quote from Triple H a couple years back when he said, you know, even a 747 looks small flying in the Grand Canyon.
I mean, how could you, in all honesty, be a person not in the porn industry, married to a porn star, and be okay with it?
You know what? I'd have a serious problem with that.
I mean, let's say she's got an early shoot. She gets up, she washes her pussy, and goes to work. Then you wake up, and while you're eating pancakes, she's fucking somebody else. While you walk to the mailbox to get the mail, she's fucking somebody else. When you come inside and turn on the TV and have a cup of tea, she's fucking somebody else. Then she's having lunch while you're taking a nap in your lazy boy. She comes back from lunch and punches in and starts fucking somebody else. Then she comes home. You tell the bitch that you want dinner. She makes you something in the microwave and goes to bed. And you're jacking off because she spent all day fucking somebody else.
You're having tea. She's getting teabagged.
Oh, I love this show.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the good folks at Wrestling News Live.
Hey, you.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday night? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
Sunday, June 19th, from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., appropriately titled Capital Punishment.
Oh, yes.
And, Brooke, who better to talk about capital punishment than the President of the United States?
Man, I'm going to say, can you imagine the President having a press conference for capital punishment? It'll probably go a little bit of something like this.
Good afternoon, everybody.
President, would you agree that WWE Capital Punishment's a clever pay-per-view name?
Yeah, I absolutely agree on that.
We heard that WWE superstar The Miz might run against you in 2012. How do you feel about that?
I'm happy to have that battle.
Awesome.
President. But what makes capital punishment so entertaining? Is it John Cena, Randy Orton?
I'm confident that's what the American people are looking for.
Would you ever consider becoming a WWE superstar?
Can you picture that, Chuck?
And I understand, Booker, that there's quite a guest list for capital punishment.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Oh, you didn't know? It's me, it's that D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James. Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Now, of course, if you're not down with that, I still got two words for you. Suck a dick!
All right, guys, we're back right here, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. I am JJ, all caps, Sexay, and I'm joined by my cohort in crime, outlaw of the IWC, the motherfucking Trey Dog.
I sent something in the chat room that's pretty witty. I'd like to share with the archive listeners. We were talking about the porn star commercial that played. I said, China's getting more dick right now than a urinal at Yankee Stadium.
Damn.
I really wanted to ask her thoughts on what Eric Bischoff had to say about her.
She probably has no idea what he said about her.
I would have told her.
Well, I'm sure you would have.
You know, but I mean, I'd like for her to have a chance to, you know, give a rebuttal.
Well, she had that about close to an hour ago. You know, I don't like getting stood up any more than anybody else does.
No, we have been Charlie Haas'd.
Well, I tell you what, without further ado, we should probably do this big announcement.
And again, I would love to be the one making this announcement for you guys, for archive's sake, but I'm allowing my partner in crime, my tag team partner, JJ Sexay, to make the huge announcement, starting with the poet and then the main event. The floor is now yours, JJ. Drop the bomb on the Wrestling News Live family on who's going to be on the show next week.
Next week is going to be a different type of show. We have two interviews scheduled. I'm not really sure how long each of them are going to go. So next week's show is going to go like this. Two interviews, news of the week, maybe emails if there's time, and then that's going to be the show. So look forward to that. Our first guest next week, and he is a very good friend of Colin Vaslow from wrestling-online.com, and he's someone who's been very relevant as of the news as of late, and he's someone that I've actually wanted to talk to for quite a long time. And it's my pleasure to tell you now that joining us live on this program next week, we will have none other than the genius, Lanny Poffo. I cannot wait to talk to Lanny Poffo.
This is a big one. This will be a chance for us to relay our thoughts of the Macho Man to Lanny. And I'm sure they've been just bombarded with, you know, an outpouring of love from the fans. But you know what? Let's make sure that he knows that we are still in mourning and we still love the Macho Man. And let's let him know that firsthand from our family to his.
So if you guys honestly have questions that you'd like Lanny Poffo to answer, I implore you now, go ahead and start getting those ready and start emailing those into the WNL email
right.
account, WNLshow@yahoo.com.
Now, so we don't get those confused with other show emails, in the subject line for your Lanny Poffo questions, please put question for Lanny.
Yes.
That way JJ knows to save those for that show.
Now, on to this other big piece of news, the main event for next week's show. This was very unexpected. It was a last-minute thing today. I talked with Colin early this morning, and he made mention of Lanny Poffo possibly coming on the show, and I said, yes, I'm interested. And he booked it, and I'm glad he did. Now, this other piece of business for the main event, that's very aptly named for this gentleman. He is a WWE Hall of Famer, and part of his tagline for a long time in the WWE was that, well, he was the icon. He was the main event. He was the showstopper. That's right. Finally, in the 15-year history of Wrestling News Live, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, will be joining the program. It will be a pre-taped interview that we will be conducting on Monday afternoon with the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Now, hopefully, we're not talking one of these 10-minute little radio tour interviews that he did when he was trying to promote something. This is something that was set up through his manager, and he agreed to today. And you know how Wrestling News Live interviews can go. Every time we think, oh, this guy is so huge, we're going to get 10 minutes, we end up getting an hour. Hopefully that's the case. We hope and we pray, but we'll take what we can get. And I've got goosebumps right now just knowing that finally, finally, HBK, Shawn Michaels, is going to be in our house on Monday night.
And you know what? It's going to be a busy week for me because, you know, it's been a busy couple of weeks for me. You know, off the heels of the DDP interview this weekend at the Calgary Comic Expo, Diamond Dallas Page will be here in town. And I've already gotten media accreditation to go to the event. So I will probably...
You did get the media accreditation.
I did, yes.
Yes, awesome. That is so cool.
I will go and talk with Diamond Dallas Page. I'll try to get some audio from that. But not only is Diamond Dallas Page going to be in attendance at the Calgary Comic Expo. No. He's going to be joined by his former tag team partner and former WCW World Tag Team Championship partner, member of the Insiders, not the Outsiders, the Insiders. I'm talking about former WNL alumnus and multiple-time World Heavyweight Champion, Kevin freaking Nash, people.
So Kevin Nash and Diamond Dallas Page are going to be at this expo, and you are going to be there with media credentials. That could be dangerous.
That could be, but that's not all. Those are the two wrestlers who are going to be at the show. Let me give you the lineup here. William Shatner is the guest of honor for this show.
I cannot believe you're going to have Captain Kirk.
Jonathan Frakes, well-known director and possibly more well-known for being Commander Riker on the Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, number one.
Yeah, number one. Summer Glau, formerly of Serenity and Firefly, and, of course, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. Jess Harnell of Rock Sugar, who I'm actually dying to talk to.
Right.
And I can't think of this guy's name, but the guy that supplied the voice of the Brain from Pinky and the Brain will also be there.
What are we going to do today, Brain? Same thing we do every day, Pinky. Devise a plan to take over the world.
So this could conceivably be a huge weekend, not only for Wrestling News Live, but for the SNS Radio Network, if I can sit down and get quick little interviews with a lot of these people.
Now, here's what I want. I want everybody's attention. Gather around. Uncle Trey Dog got a story to tell. I want everybody to come around. Get in here. Get in. You know, you get in here good and tight. Come on, get in here. We're all close. Get in here. Get in here. Huddle up. Huddle up. All right, here's what I want to tell you guys. We talked about this a little bit on Unplugged, and unfortunately, I was in the chat room trying to chime in. I don't know that it did any good because everybody was talking about everything all at once. I want to make sure I address this now. I want everybody to vote for Show of the Year to be Unplugged. Not Wrestling News Live, Unplugged. I've got three awards. I'm happy with them. Do I want a fourth? Yes. But this year, I am going to throw my full support behind Unplugged, and I want you to do the same. I would like for JJ to get a shot at Show Host of the Year. Again, I've got three of them. Let's let JJ have one. Also, as far as Wrestling News Live is concerned, I still wouldn't mind winning People's Choice Award because that means the people still consider this show to be their wrestling favorite. And fourth, this is an award that we've never won. It's because I never really cared to put forth the effort it required. But what I would like to win for Wrestling News Live this year, and I don't think it's going to be too far of a stretch, especially after what we just announced, but I would like to see us win the award for Best Booked Show of the Year. And that means not quantity of guests, but quality of guests. And if you think about it, since last year's awards show, we've had Kurt Angle again, Hall and Nash, Billy Gunn, DDP. I thought last week's interview was awesome, considering it was the number one news story in wrestling about Ric Flair being arrested and why.
And that was Michael Bukkicchio.
From High Spots.
Yes.
You had in there Lanny Poffo and Shawn Michaels, and we're not done yet. So I would like to try to go for that award as well. So keep that in mind. We'll remind you again as the awards get closer. But just I don't want to split the vote is the thing that I'm trying to get at.
And with that said,
I say we news it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
It was kind of an interesting news week, Trey.
Today especially.
Today especially, yes. But let's go ahead and get started with some of the things that happened since the last time we were on the air with Wrestling News Live. Apparently, news came out that Randy Savage suffered ventricular fibrillation prior to the crash. Lanny Poffo, who will be guest on next week's show, the brother of the Macho Man Randy Savage, told Bay News 9 the cause of death for his brother was a diseased heart after he suffered ventricular fibrillation. A VF will trigger the individual to collapse and become unconscious because the brain and muscles have stopped receiving blood from the heart. Unfortunately for Savage, he had a VF while he was driving, and the injuries he suffered in the crash might have contributed to his death. According to Poffo, Randy's wife managed to grab the steering wheel and avoid hitting a bike head-on after he became unconscious and drove right into a tree. That's sad news, and that's something I want to talk to him about. I mean, because I had heard the toxicology report hadn't come back yet.
Well, what that means to me is, had he been walking his dog or just walking in the park with his wife, he'd still be with us, probably.
I don't know, man. Not necessarily. I mean, it's possible.
Well,
it's
possible. Well, I'll say this. It's not, from what I understand, it's not quite a heart attack.
Okay.
Like you pass out, but you recover from it, from what I understand. We'll ask Lanny tomorrow or Monday and find out.
Let's see. Other news. Apparently, there was a video that made the rounds featuring the the Hardy Brothers in a topic called Tase Me, Bro.
Brothers, I saw this.
You have to tell me about it in a second. Brothers Jeff and Matt Hardy decided to have some sick fun with Matt's girlfriend, Rebe Sky, who Crelly has a huge crush on, subjecting her to taser gun attacks after Matt himself let his brother tase him. The model and TV personality first objected to being tased as she filmed Matt getting buzzed, but eventually she agreed. Jeff then shocked her with the gun, and she fell down screaming and laughing as her boyfriend Matt filmed the whole thing with another camera. "You motherfuckers," said Sky, as both Matt and Jeff laughed. The video contains some very strong language from the former WWE and TNA world champion, and shortly after it was posted, Hardy removed it from YouTube.
Now, basically what this was, I saw it right after he posted the link. I guess I got lucky. I just had to be hitting Twitter at the same time. Basically, the three of them were in a garage, or a room somewhere, looked like a garage somewhere, and Matt is looking into the camera, and he's got Rebe Sky with him right there, and she is very attractive. I don't know how Matt does it, but kudos, that guy pulls some hot ass. Anyway, they're talking about the taser, and Matt introduces Jeff, who steps in front of the camera and says a few words and goes, in shock, you know, turns it on, shows it's real. They shock Matt. Matt kind of goes, you know, and he's like, oh, God, oh, God. And then she's like, okay, all right. He's like, just do it, just do it. They talk her into it. Matt holds her in place while somebody else is filming, and Jeff reaches in and tases the bitch. Just whap! Like right on her arm, and she goes and falls down. Well, then Matt falls down with her, holding her, comforting her, you know, laughing the whole time. Matt says a few funny things. Jeff says a few funny things. Nothing that I thought was weird, other than why in the fuck would the three of you get out there with a taser and tase yourselves? That's just dumber than shit. But to each his own. I mean, if that's what you want to do for entertainment, then by God, do it. Great thing about America. You can do that, you know?
Wow. You know,
I didn't see anything in it that made me think, oh my God, look at Hardy. He's so fucked up. I thought it was two brothers with one of them's girlfriend out in the garage doing something stupid they caught on tape. And I laughed. But at the same time, in the back of my brain, I'm going, God, why the hell would you do that? That was it. Now, apparently, there was an outcry of shit-talking, because you can leave comments, and he stresses, leave comments. Now, did Jeff look drunk? They all looked like they were a little fucked up. But then again, wouldn't you have to be to stand around and get tased on purpose?
I would think so, yeah. You know, it almost sounds to me like they were filming a scene for Jackass.
Well, they were filming a scene for one of the upcoming Hardy Boy episodes, is what he says.
Interesting. Well, we go from that to a very interesting story. As you might have, you know, if you've been living under a rock over the last couple of weeks, you probably realize that the Ultimate Warrior has been making some headlines since the death of the Macho Man Randy Savage. He's had a lot of, you know, pardon the pun, butt hurt over the situation with Hulk Hogan. There's been a back and forth Twitter war over the internet, as Warrior has been talking about karma coming to collect on Hulk Hogan. More to this story, the Ultimate Warrior has posted a 7-minute preview of his Karma is Coming to Collect video, a 57-minute rant directed at WWE Hall of Famer Hulk Hogan. In a blog posted on his website, the Warrior said that the professionally edited video will be rolled out on June 17th on YouTube. "This video is my gift to you and the beginning of something big together," explained Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior joined Twitter following the death of the Macho Man Randy Savage and posted an 18-minute emotional tribute to his former in-ring rival shortly after he resumed his longtime feud with Hulk Hogan, with the two blasting each other online and Warrior doing his interview to counteract Hogan's interview that he did with HD Nets The Voice. "I know you, and I know you. You know that I know the real you. You know that I know what a malicious and backstabbing operator you are." Warrior ripped Hogan a new one for his story about reconnecting with Randy Savage, calling him a liar, a fraud, a phony, and then went into other stories that it would be best for you to listen directly from him on that said blog. So he is promising to roll out this video on June 17th, alleging accusations that Hulk Hogan allowed his wife to sleep with other wrestlers, and that, in fact, Hulk Hogan wanted the Warrior to sleep with his wife, and that Hulk Hogan, or Cokehead Hogan, whatever you want to call him, is, in fact, a cokehead. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I know that Hulk Hogan has looked into legal action against the Ultimate Warrior, suing him for slander. It's going to get interesting, people. It's going to get interesting.
Now, my question is, if you're that butthurt at Hulk Hogan, and I'm talking about the Ultimate Warrior, why has it taken this long for you to put this out? It wasn't like Hogan came over and fucking ate the last bowl of your cereal yesterday. You know, I mean, so if that's the case, why did it take him this long to finally come out with this tell-all about Hulk Hogan? And why only Hulk Hogan? Was Hulk Hogan the only one that's ever done him wrong in his entire life?
No, but I really think, again, I think that the motives here for Warrior might have been pure in the fact that he really felt that he was doing a service to wrestling fans by letting them know how he felt about Randy Savage. And
right.
From that standpoint, I can understand where the Warrior's coming from. I can rationalize where he's coming from here. Because Hogan, literally, after saying all those touching things about Randy Savage, did this, you know, Hulk Hogan versus The Voice, and literally threw him under the bus. And, you know, for someone who says, oh, I reconnected with Randy and we buried the hatchet and everything was cool, he was a good friend, I loved him, blah, 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 blah. And then for the things that he said about Savage, I mean, I could completely understand why the Warrior would take this stance.
Okay, well, that makes sense. That I understand. Now, that means, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess I look at this as I feel bad in a way for Hogan because it's so much shit. I mean, so much bad shit has happened to this guy in the last 5 years. I mean, from his son to losing his wife to losing damn near everything he you know, there's a scene, I've mentioned it several times, on his daughter's show where they're in a boat and they're going out in the water and he turns the boat around and she says, what are you doing? And he says, well, I can't get any closer to that's their old house. He goes, I can't get within so many feet of your mom and she's at the house. Because she had a restraining order on him. So he's turning the boat around, and she says, are you crying? And he said, yeah, a little bit. And she said, what's the matter? He said, I just can't believe that, you know, I've lost everything. And basically, you know, I turned my body into a piece of meat for, you know, doing what I did for 18 years, and I have nothing to show for it. And I kind of feel bad for the guy, in a way. I mean, like I said, I've had a couple of years where everything snowballed, and I wondered if I'd ever get back out on top. You just have to fight and pray and hope that you can get through it. And I feel bad for Hogan because it's the same scenario. I see this snowball coming down on him from his kid to losing his wife to losing everything to that emotional show that he did on A&E where he talked about having a 9mm and a bottle of, you know, whatever it was, Jack Daniels, and chugging the bottle and contemplating shooting himself, you know, to getting a call from Muhammad Ali's daughter that snapped him out of it, you know. Then he gets ready to go to TNA and start his life all over again, and he has all these fucking back surgeries that, you know, back surgeries aren't fun, or we'd all have them every day just for shits and grins. And he had like 8 or 9 of the motherfuckers.
Well, you know, here's my thing with Hulk Hogan. You know, as you know, growing up as a kid, I was a huge Hulkamaniac. Loved Hulk Hogan, okay? Thought he was great. But over the years, he's done a lot of things that have been pretty stupid. In the last year or two, he's done a lot of things that were really stupid that really made me change my opinion of the guy. You know, the first one being when Edge retired because he had an injury, and Hulk Hogan's like, oh, you know, suck it up, brother. You know, we all wrestled hurt back in the day. And you know, we're talking about a kid that could go out there and get crippled any day of the week wrestling when he's still young enough to have a very great life, you know, with the money that he saved. He's not one of those guys that, you know, used his money up, used it for cocaine, spent it carelessly. I mean, Edge is going to be fine from this point on. But the fact that Hogan's going to sit there and say careless and reckless shit like that really pissed me off.
But then again, by the same token, and I don't use this very often, I use it once in a great while, do we know for a fact he really said this shit?
Oh, well, no.
Was it really Hogan that said it?
Oh, well, apparently, I'm sure his Twitter account was hacked. That seems to be the, his Facebook, his Twitter account, that seems to be the go-to excuse these days. Oh, my Twitter account was hacked.
Because, like I said, he's gone through so much bullshit. That's why I'm so sympathetic, is because I went through so much bullshit and had a tough couple of years. Everybody around me was fucking dying, you know, from my best friend to my mom to other members of my family. And I'm like, fuck, what's going on? You know, so that way, now that I'm out of that period, I'm back on my feet. I feel like I'm a normal person again. I sympathize with somebody having a bad day, bad week, bad year.
Well, see,
I hate to think that somebody would go through the shit he's gone through and be that careless.
But see, then it goes further, Trey. Not only did he have some really stupid comments to say toward Edge, then he decided to direct his comments toward the IWC. Mainly to, I guess this was on his Facebook page, saying that it was the moron fans that killed WCW. Now,
Right. Correct
me if I'm wrong, but I watched the product until it was unwatchable. So if by not watching their product I contributed to their demise, then yeah, I guess it's my fault. Keep in mind, I had no part in putting the World Heavyweight Championship on David Arquette. Keep in mind, I had no part in booking storylines and doing the Finger of Doom so that Hogan could become champion again. Keep in mind, I had nothing to do with any of these things. But yet, we're considered the death of WCW. Again, shut the fuck up, Hogan.
Wait,
his account was hacked on that one. My bad.
Right. What's really funny is, in the grand scheme of things, not to get off topic, but, you know, no one person killed WCW. No one person that worked there killed WCW. It was the fact that AOL bought TNT and TBS, and they didn't want wrestling. That's what killed them. You know, that's what killed them. When the company that you work for doesn't want your position to be there anymore, they get rid of it. That's what kills the position, not the people. Not Nash, not Hogan, not Russo. Did they help? Maybe a little bit.
Well, you know what?
I mean, that's...
The bottom line with WCW dying, there was a lot of factors. Vince Russo coming into power had a lot to do with it. That show went from being watchable to completely unwatchable within 6 months of Russo taking over the booking. And that's a fact. And Bischoff tried to come in. He tried to make things better. He tried to buy the company. But in the end, that's not what happened.
And what's really funny is Jericho says, you know, when he finds out how much Bischoff paid for, or Vince paid for WCW, if he'd have known that, he'd have tried to have bought it before Vince and kept it going.
Absolutely.
He mentioned Jericho as the owner of the company.
That would have been interesting. I do want to transition to some more news before we wrap this up. There was a report, as we went off the air last week, there was a report that The Miz had suffered a leg injury.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and clear this rumor up.
Obviously.
Apparently, someone who claimed to have attended Monday's Raw distributed false reports to several websites saying that former WWE champion The Miz suffered a leg injury in a dark match he had with John Cena after the show went off the air. Turned out that no dark match was held after last week's show, and Miz was obviously fine. Miz was quoted as saying, "Tis, tis, tis, kiddies. Did we all learn something tonight? Don't believe everything you read on the sheets." The original false report suggested the Miz possibly suffered a broken leg after landing badly following an attitude adjustment. So as we found out on Tuesday of last week, the Miz was fine, and it was a false report.
Tis, tis, tis.
Who knew, right?
That's funny, though. I just, that ranks right up there with why people get all butthurt, because TNA said they didn't want people coming in with their smartphones and texting spoilers and shit. Well, you know, you're not going to stop that. That's just the business has evolved, you know. Granted, you know, we didn't have the internet back in the early 80s when, you know, wrestling really started booming, but... just think of how different wrestling would be had the internet been around during the Hulk Hogan, you know, WrestleMania 1 days.
True that.
Well, I don't even know if we'd still be here.
Probably not. Apparently, as I mentioned earlier, Hogan is planning on suing The Warrior over the video. TMZ is reporting that Hogan is planning to file a lawsuit against The Warrior for his remarks in the 7-minute preview that he put out where he ripped Hogan. The 7-minute video is a small part of a longer 57-minute recording with The Warrior. This is going to be released, of course, on June 17th. He had warned Hogan that karma was coming to collect. Hogan told TMZ that the allegation of drug use noted by the Warrior in the video is just a, quote, blatant lie, and also defends himself when Warrior said Hogan encouraged his then-wife Linda to have sex with the wrestlers. None of this ever happened. This guy is out of his mind, says Hogan. It is the Warrior. I mean, that can't
my
be
thing
made.
Is if Hogan was prostituting Linda out back then, somebody else would have said something by now.
Yeah, you would think, right?
I mean, Hogan doesn't have that kind of power over the entire wrestling world. And there were a lot of loose cannons that worked there back in that day. One of them would have said something by now if all you had to do was just ask Hogan to fuck his wife.
Oh, I agree with that.
I find it really hard to believe. Really, really, really hard to believe. Especially the way he's so protective of Brooke and the way he really did treat her during that TV show. Now, granted, it was TV, but there were cameras up his ass 24/7.
That's true.
And I got the feeling that Hogan was a very protective father and husband.
Well, you know what? It's not hard to be a protective father. I'm a very protective father. You know, it's okay to love your kids, but...
But you wouldn't whore out Harmony either.
I wouldn't whore out Harmony. But if you've watched that Hogan Knows Best show, how many times do we see Hogan try to get some from Linda and she turns him down?
Well, that's marriage, dude.
Well, speak for yourself, man. I'm married. I don't have that problem.
Well, and not all marriages do. But how many times have you heard the joke in a married couple about the sex?
Oh, I've heard it many times.
So obviously when there's smoke, there's fire. If you got a relationship where you and your wife still knock boots, then goddamn congratulations.
It's called being in a loving relationship, people.
I mean, yeah. I was, you know, in a loving, finger quotation, loving relationship for 4 years or 5 years and lived with her for four. And the minute she moved in, there was a lock on the pussy.
I hear you, buddy.
I spent many a night trying to be a locksmith.
Well, that reminds me of a funny story that my dad told me many, many, many years ago. I probably shouldn't even say this, but I'm going to. I remember back in, I guess it was 1992, 93, my dad was going through a separation from his second wife, my stepmother. And I can remember we used to have this Saturday ritual. My best friend and I, Dave, would go down to the putt-putt golf right down the street. He would come pick me up. We spend like $5 this place. We get a hot dog, a drink, and like 50 game tokens. We get to play the unlimited amount of golf till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'd be playing mini putt-putt and then playing Street Fighter and WrestleFest in the arcade all fucking day. And we did this every Saturday. And you know, I had quite the group that would come out with us and do stuff. I remember Dave came over to pick me up one Saturday afternoon. We're getting ready to go. And my dad's really frustrated at this point because my stepmother has been gone. He's obviously, you know, lonely. He's obviously upset. And I just remember it was my friend Dave and my other friend Wally sitting in the living room just making conversation with my dad because I think he was watching football at the time. He starts talking about, you know, his relationship. And I'm like cringing at this point. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And so my dad, as we're getting ready to leave, my dad says, he lifts his right hand up and he holds it up. He goes, you know what? As long as I have this, I'll be okay. That day mortified me for the rest of my life with my two best friends there with my dad saying, guess what? As long as I got my right hand, I'll be okay.
I'm a chronic masturbator, gentlemen.
It's like, thanks, Dad. We'll see you later. We're out of here.
All right,
goodbye.
We're out.
15-year-old JJ Sexay thought it was funny after the fact. Not so much then, right?
Oh,
that's good stuff there. He doesn't listen to this show, so thank God he doesn't, you know that I'm saying this tonight.
Right, right, right.
Back to the news. Speaking of, since we're on a sexual kind of topic here.
It's sexual, baby.
Rosa Mendez, you know who this is, right?
Rosa Mendez, didn't she play the wedding planner for Edge and Vicky?
No, that's Alicia Fox.
That's Alicia Fox. Okay, Rosa Mendez was the Mexican chick with the weird face paint, like the eye paint.
Yeah, kind of.
She always looked like she was mad.
Yeah, she is on SmackDown now.
Okay.
This is an interesting little thing. Apparently, in one of the oops moments that the WWE Divas might encounter during a match, Rosa Mendez had a wardrobe malfunction.
No way!
She had a match against Natalya Neidhart during a dark match at the SmackDown taping last Tuesday. According to eyewitness reports, the match ended quickly when the referee awarded the match to Natalya. Mendez quickly bolted out of the ring with her hands on her chest, keeping her boobs from falling out in front of a jam-packed arena that many saw everything when the incident happened. A wardrobe malfunction that everyone wanted to see tonight, wrote Mendez on her Twitter. Later, she wrote that she's going to eat sushi, and she bet that she will wish we were joining her. Just like you wish, you would have all seen my puppies last night. This is the second time that Mendez fell out of her top, with the first time being when she got pinned by Layla. Her top got caught by Layla's trunks, and as soon as she pulled away, her top followed. Going back in its place, it was untangled. So the really important thing is, despite the fact there was a wardrobe malfunction, Natty actually got a win. I was impressed. Due to a wardrobe malfunction, Natty Neidhart got a win in a SmackDown.
That's something you have to ask yourself, which do you want to see worse?
True that. Let's see. Apparently, there are rumors that Bill DeMott might be making a comeback to the WWE as an active wrestler.
Crowley, I know who she is. If you're going to send me a link to a picture, send me a link to her titties being pulled out.
Oh, God.
I know who the bitch is. I want to see her pups. Come on. Investigate that, investigative reporter.
So a couple more news stories before we wrap this up. The six-sided ring returns next month for TNA's Destination X pay-per-view.
Now, this is interesting because in the chat last night during the pay-per-view, somebody had mentioned the All-X Division pay-per-view coming up and what are my thoughts. And I said, yeah, you know, it's all right, blah, 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 blah. And then somebody said, if I was to book it, how would I book it? And I said, well, I'd, you know, bring back the six-sided ring for one night only. And I would bring back, I'd have an open door policy. I would bring in any who's ever been there before. I'd bring in, you know, the best from Mexico, the best from Japan. I'd bring back, you know, former TNA X Division guys. And I'd bring back some old names like Billy Kidman and shit like that that were good luchador or cruiserweights back in their day, just to spice it up, like Jerry Lynn, shit like that. And apparently, that's what they're going to do. Not necessarily those guys, but anybody who's been there before, it's an open door policy. They're letting anybody who wants to come back, apparently.
Well, that's, you know, I could see that working. But as far as the pay-per-view next week or next month, they will go back to the original six-sided ring instead of the normal four-sided ring. The company last used the six-sided ring concept at the 2009 Final Resolution pay-per-view, which was headlined by AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. This will be a one-time return for the ring, particularly for this pay-per-view. And TNA will resume its wrestling in the traditional four-sided ring with the from the following Impact Wrestling tapings. Destination X will take place at the Impact Wrestling Zone in Orlando, Florida, on July 10th. So it is a one-time deal.
Yes.
Now, I mentioned
Unomas.
I mentioned Kevin Nash earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since we last spoke to Kevin, some interesting things have happened to him. Well,
I'd like for you to get some information from him about this while you're there.
I plan on it, my friend.
I'd like to bring him back on, but I don't want to spoil the thunder of you getting to meet him this weekend.
Well, here's the story. Nash was apparently arrested for protecting his wife from a drunk over the weekend. TMZ.com is reporting that former WWE and WCW champion Kevin Nash was arrested recently for beating up a drunk guy after his wife was getting harassed by the guy who got his ass whooped. TMZ obtained the police report, which stated that Nash and his wife were leaving a restaurant after dinner, and a guy under the influence of alcohol approached his wife. When he was told to leave, the guy refused and got aggressive, leaving no other option for Nash other than for him to deck him. Police were called in, and Nash was held the man down until they showed up. But instead, cops took the former champ into custody on suspicion of battery, a charge that was eventually dropped due to the lack of evidence. When TMZ spoke with Nash, he said that if he wanted to, sure, if he wanted to sue, he'd have a good case. I'm a 52-year-old fake fighter. My hands aren't deadly weapons, he said sarcastically. So apparently Kevin Nash arrested for protecting his wife from a drunk. Really? Way to go, police.
I like what he said earlier. Police show up, guy with long hair and tattoos always goes to jail.
Unbelievable. In a rather depressing note, Jim Ross is scheduled to undergo yet another surgery.
Damn.
In his always interesting blog, the WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross said that he will be undergoing surgery once again this week to fix an incisional hernia in his abdomen. My surgeon is the same one who performed the colon surgery, and no, not the beloved Dr. Heine from a few years ago, joked Ross. Referring to the skit that the WWE did years ago on TV about him, this issue evolved just over the past 3 to 4 months, and I'm told that getting it repaired now would be timely and prevent other related health issues going forward. We, as long as Colin Vasilow at wrestling-online.com, wish JR a safe and speedy recovery. The law firm Gersowitz, Lebo, and Korak issued a press release announcing a settlement offer of $5 million after 4 weeks of trial on behalf of a client who was injured in a low-impact motor vehicle incident driven by a WWE employee in downtown Manhattan. The firm, on behalf of their client, Kimberly Benson, sued WWE and the driver, Matthew Yakarin, for past and future medical bills, lost wages, and pain and suffering. The accident happened on November 2nd, 2007, when Yakarin was driving a commercial van in the financial district of downtown Manhattan. While attempting to pass traffic, he backed up and struck Miss Benson's Jeep in the back driver's side bumper with the side of his van. Benson suffered a fracture of the cartilage in her knee and underwent several surgical procedures.
Sweep, 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 sweep on the rug?
Pretty much. So apparently there were some releases made by the WWE over the last few days. Michael Tarver has been released. Jacob Novak has been released as well. There was some developmental talent as well. I mean, to know that the three talents that were released from FCW are Buddy Stretcher, Buck Dixon, and Ethan Levine. There you go. If you don't know who they are, well, I guess you don't watch FCW.
No.
But that is going to do it for the news of the week.
Very interesting. Today was very interesting. It was a very L.A. Law-type news day.
You're going to have to help me out with this Raw review. I don't want to spend too much time on it because, well, we never do.
Okay, it started, Austin showed up, made a few matches, it was over with.
There were some things of interest tonight from the portions of the show that I saw. For example, Randy Orton comes out, calls out Christian, and basically attempts to beat up Christian until the Raw GM chimes in and says, no, you have a concussion. You cannot wrestle him tonight, but you can at the pay-per-view, and says that you need to go home. And then Randy Orton starts to go toward Christian, who's basically being protected by security guards. And then once again, the Raw GM chimes in and says, oh, by the way, if you don't leave now, I'm stripping you of the World Heavyweight Championship. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's, you know, the logic in me. Maybe it's the fact I can't suspend my disbelief. But can you explain to me how the Raw general manager has the power to strip the SmackDown World Heavyweight Champion when he is A, not on the show, and B, not on the SmackDown roster and not the GM of the whole WWE? Where was Teddy Long? I mean,
I'm hoping that this clusterfuck gets enough attention from the IWC that they finally go, okay, we fucked ourselves into a corner here. We painted ourselves into a corner. We've got to just come out and announce that the general manager is so-and-so to move forward.
Well, I thought it was ridiculous. I literally was in the chat room tonight, and I was like, how the hell does the Raw GM have any input over the SmackDown talent? Much less stripping the fucking world championship. Made no sense. And if that was the case, and I'll quote Randy McWilliams on this, what was the point of Stone Cold being the guest GM if the Raw GM was going to be chiming in all fucking night?
Which is why Austin took the four-wheeler and ran over the laptop.
I just don't get it. You know, and then the funniest thing I saw tonight had to have been R-Truth and Hornswoggle. I haven't seen a midget get his ass kicked like that since Austin Powers, the spy who shagged me, back in 1999.
I had a great racist comment for that in the chat room when that happened.
Fucking Truth treating him like he was little Jimmy.
I'm not going to share it on the air, but it was pretty good.
And hey, we found out who little Jimmy is tonight.
Who's little Jimmy?
Little Jimmy, this whole time, has been John Morrison.
Ah!
Makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. You know, they tease John Morrison making a comeback tonight, and then you have Truth lay him out in the back, and then injure him further, And then Truth, you know, pushes a cart into him, injuring his neck. And then starts saying he got. And then calls him Little Jimmy. There you go. Mystery solved. We now know.
I think everybody to the Truth is Little Jimmy.
But Little Jimmy Morrison is, I think, who he really had a problem with to begin with.
Well, I also think that now Little Jimmy's by gender because we have Little Jenny. He said Little Jimmy and Little Jenny tonight.
See, I'm actually watching the replay right now, and now is the part where Truth is about to kick the head off a Hornswoggle. I love this
part. Also know that R-Truth either wears a cup to the ring or he has no package, because Hornswoggle shot that cannon into his nuts, and he didn't even sell it.
Well, perhaps. I'm pretty sure that R-Truth has kids, right?
Well, yeah, but...
Okay, well, look, Father's Day is coming up.
That doesn't mean he still has them now.
But listen, Father's Day is coming up. Anybody that's been a father knows that you're subject to abuse. It happens. Sometimes you get kicked in the package.
Let me see if maybe
he wore a cup tonight. That's all I can think of.
Let me see if I can get this set up correctly here. But yeah, just because you have kids.
Scrap Iron Gadaski in the chat. They might not be his. We can neither confirm nor deny that is the case. Wow. What are you doing?
If I can be racist for a minute. There's no joke that goes like this. Black man gets to church late. He's sitting in the front pew with his family, and he keeps, you know, messing with this junk. The preacher's going on and on about his sermon, and the guy's reaching down, scratching his junk, and moving around, kind of like, looks really like he's going to try to, like he's gonna piss his pants, but he's not. And finally, the preacher stops, and he says, "Mr. Johnson, what's wrong with you?" And the man says to the preacher, "I just had a hippendectomy." "A hippendectomy? You had your hip removed?" No, not there, down there." He goes, "Oh, a hysterectomy." He says, "Yeah, I had it snipped." And he goes, "Well, why'd you do that?" And he said, "Because the wife told me if I was going to be impotent, I might." He goes, "Well, why'd you do that?" And he goes, "Because the wife told me to." He said, "Well, why are you wearing that suit? It's too tight." And he said, "Because my wife told me if I was going to be impotent, I might as well look impotent." So just because you have kids doesn't mean you don't get a little snippy snip. I'm not saying that the Truth has done that. I'm just saying he no-sold a cannon to nuts.
I hear you.
Because the first thing I thought of when he got shot was, "Oh, my God."
Well, see, but I think you guys are missing one crucial important information. And maybe it's something that we haven't talked about in a long time. But what did they used to call the Truth in TNA?
What was his name?
He's Ron the Truth Killings, but what was his nickname? What you think about it?
Oh, dude, what was his? I was just trying to think of this the other day.
I'm going to give you a hint. He's the counter to John Cena.
Oh, the Suntan Superman. That's right.
So we've got the Suntan Superman taking on Superman at Capital Punishment. But the problem is, and this was something I probably should have addressed a few moments ago, rumors are saying that John Cena, his health is not good right now. He's got some nagging injuries, his neck, his hip. I'm going to be real honest, people. If I'm the WWE and I'm eyeing this big match that they got planned for WrestleMania next year between John Cena and The Rock, I know you people are going to shit all over this, but R-Truth walks away the WWE champion. And I tell you this for two reasons. One, this allows Cena to get some time off to heal and then come back later. And two, you just set it up tonight where R-Truth took out John Morrison and possibly injured him. So when John Morrison comes back from being injured, who's he going after? Ron the Truth Killings. Can anybody else see him beating Truth to become WWE champion? I can.
Yeah, but I don't know if Cena loses, dude. Again, it comes down to that merchandise.
Again, it comes down to common sense. If a motherfucker's wrestling hurt and he does one fucking false move in the ring and then risks getting hurt worse where he has to be out for a fucking year, you've completely blown your main event that you have already booked. I'm just saying, if you're going to book yourself in a corner, you need to look at other options. You can't put it on Alberto Del Rio right now because you've got him embroiled in a feud with the Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be real honest. Truth has really stepped it up. I'm liking this heel R-Truth. I think it's working for him. And if you're going to give Jack Swagger last summer...
And we've already got one black man who's a winner in Washington, D.C.
Well, think about it. You gave Jack Swagger a chance with the championship last year after WrestleMania that didn't last very long. I don't think Swagger was ready. Why not give Truth the same opportunity? At the expense of saving your big talent in this company a little bit of time to get his shit in order. It hurts nobody to put that belt on R-Truth temporarily and let somebody else run with it so Cena can heal himself up.
I can see them selling a shit ton of Little Jimmy t-shirts. I'm Little Jimmy.
I'm just saying. I mean, you know, they could do something where he retains the belt and then Truth does something to injure him. You know?
I don't care.
I mean, that's another way to look at it. Instead of putting it on R-Truth, you have him win the match and then Truth snap and just beat the living shit out of John Cena. And then he gets so hurt that he has to, you know, he has to forfeit the title. I mean, there's ways around it. If he's hurt,
I'd rather just see John Cena get beat plain and simple by Ron the Truth killing and show that Cena's a man. He's vulnerable and he can't get beat. All that does is boost your pay-per-view buy rate for the future because people will think, well, he's lost once to R-Truth. Who's to say he can't lose to this guy?
You know, DJ says in the chat, Cena should lose at Summerfest. Yeah, but you're missing the point. SummerSlam is not till August. This is June. You got July and then August. So he's going to have to wrestle another month,
and a half. Here's the thing. You know, reason people stop buying pay-per-views and they sour on the WWE product is just like tonight in the main event when Booker T made a comment or somebody made a comment, you know, it's about time for one of those John Cena comebacks. Oh, there it is. Maybe I spoke too soon. You know, he starts jumping off the ropes, doing the shoulder block into the five-knuckle shuffle. You know, people get tired of John Cena getting completely demolished and then coming back against all odds and getting the win 1-2-3 cleanly. Boom, it's over. Next show. That's why people stop watching. That's why people stop buying the pay-per-view product. You roll out there on Sunday on Capital Punishment, and it's okay for the announcers to tell the story of, you know, Ron the Truth killings attacked John Cena at the end of Raw. John Cena's been suffering from a few nagging injuries. He's not 100% going into this match. You can go ahead and sell that, but let Truth win clean. That way, you got a new champion, number one. Number two, people start going, oh, wait a minute, John Cena can lose. So 5 months from now, when he's back in a title match, you don't go, oh, I'm not buying this. John Cena is just going to win anyway. Because it suspends your disbelief. It makes you think for a second, holy shit, he's not invincible. All that does is help the company. It's not like little kids and soccer moms aren't going to still buy John Cena merchandise just because he doesn't have the belt and he lost to Ron Killings. If anything else, it's going to make them buy more of it because then he's chasing the guy that did him wrong. The good guy is trying to track down the bad guy and get his belt back to the kids, to the little Jimmies. A loss to Cena, a Cena loss to R-Truth cleanly does nothing but help this company in every way imaginable.
And it hurts R-Truth not to win, to be honest.
It kills R-Truth. If he doesn't win this, he goes back in the shuffle with the rest of them.
And then you've got a guy that's still injured as your number one guy.
And that leaves you with nobody else for him to fight. Let's say John Cena wins on Sunday and cleanly beats R-Truth. Who's next? Can you think of anybody who's ready to go right now on Raw?
Well, I mean, I know that Rigo says let Del Rio have a run with a belt. You're missing the point, though. You're going to have to wait like a month for that to happen because he's still got Big Show on his plate right now. And I don't think John Cena can go another month without fucking injuring himself further. I mean, it's a hard business, guys. If you've never taken a bump.
At the end of the day, you still have to remember your payoff is WrestleMania with The Rock. You get hurt and you have to rehab and miss that date, you've killed your company.
Because you may not get this chance again.
Number one. Number two. Your following will shit all over you if you do not make this match happen after you promised it to them a year in advance. This is not one of those where it's card subject to change. You got to think now, and you got to book 6 months in advance, 8 months in advance, when your main event payoff is that far away. And I'm sure they have. I'm also sure that Cena's injuries have changed things. But if I've got a car that's got a bum wheel, and I can tell that there's a good chance it could go flat any day now, and I've got to, you know, make it last for 6 months because I have no other choice, I find another way to get around real quick. And they need to, too.
And listen, it's like this. I mean, I wasn't a very big fan of this R-Truth push to begin with, but over the last few weeks, he's been amazing. The promos that he's been doing, the character that he's had has been entertaining. He stepped it up. Whether you agree with that or not, it doesn't hurt to give this guy a chance. If you can give guys like Jack Swagger a push, why not R-Truth? The company is different than it was 10 years ago. You know, somebody was saying, well, if they ever had a black WWE champion. Well, the closest they ever had really was Booker T as the world champion and The Rock as the WWE champion because he's half black. The last actual African-American champion was Ron Simmons, and that was in WCW.
Damn.
And Booker T in WCW. But why not give it to him? I mean, shit, he's a former NWA world champion. Why not? And again, you can further storylines. You can have Rey Mysterio chasing R-Truth because he's got bad blood with him. You got John Morrison coming back. You could throw Alex Riley in the mix when he's done with The Miz. There's several places you can go here with this. It just makes sense. And as Trey said, I sure as hell wouldn't want to be driving a car with a bum wheel thinking it'll be okay. I can make it another week. I can make it another month. I can make it to August on this. And you don't have to agree with this. I don't care if you agree or not. I'm just throwing out my opinions. You know, you're all entitled to your opinions. I just think they put themselves in a corner and they got to do something about it. This is what happens when you only push John Cena. That's why he shouldn't have got the title at WrestleMania. They should have gone another direction. You know, and rightfully so. The guy works his ass off. You'll hear nothing but respect from me for John Cena. He does whatever he's asked, and he works his ass off. But even your top guys need a break. I mean, look at Undertaker. He's in bad shape. Why? Because they had to keep using him when he wasn't really able to wrestle. That's why he's in the shape that he's in now. Do you think if they had let Undertaker have a little more time off to repair that shoulder and get the surgery that he needed, that maybe his shoulder wouldn't be so fucked up now? Again, they booked themselves in a corner. So what else happened on Raw that was interesting tonight, Trey?
Oh, other than Ron Truth and his appearances, we did have Stone Cold Steve Austin make a Piper's Pit segment with Alex Riley and The Miz. That was pretty decent. Alex Riley, I just got to give the kid props. I mean, for no longer than he's been in the business, the kid can talk. And like Austin said at the beginning of the show, the kid can talk, the kid can take a whipping, and he can dish one out. And if you watch the beginning of the show, it really showed you, in my opinion, the difference in the caliber of the superstars from the Attitude Era to the superstars in the new WWE, we forgot about wrestling entertainment era. Because when Austin and The Miz were in the ring together, Austin, it was almost like Austin was, you know, The Miz's daddy.
Hey, hang on a second, Trey. I want to reply to something. Somebody in the chat just said something about Cena didn't win the belt at WrestleMania. You're right. It was the pay-per-view after. My bad.
You know, Alex Riley got a huge pop tonight. The crowd is really behind him, and that's not because of Riley. Most of that's because of The Miz. And anybody that goes against The Miz is going to get that kind of reaction if they're worth a shit. But they've done a great job with the Riley-Miz dynamic. But Stone Cold looked like he made The Miz look like somebody who'd been sent home from school and it was time to go out to the woodshed with Dad. You know, with the whole, you know, Austin was on his ass from jump. And it just, to me, it shows you the difference in dynamic of the superstars from the, you could have put The Rock in there. The Rock makes The Miz look like a chump on the microphone. You know, we haven't seen really Triple H in The Miz, but I'm sure he'd do the same thing. And it's those Attitude Era superstars and the way that they were made to be larger than life. They don't compare at all to the superstars of today. Superstars of today, to me, are much weaker superstars than those of the Attitude Era.
Well, even before the Attitude Era. The business is completely different. I mean, you go back to the territory system, and you had a guy that would hone his craft in different territories for years, you know, and you don't get that now. Now you get a guy that comes up through development. It's funny. I watched last night, because Harmony and I every now and then like to watch a story, you know. We like to watch some of these DVDs that we've had in our collection that we haven't watched in a while. And so last night, we brought out the WWE's Most Powerful Families in Wrestling. I don't know if you've ever seen that DVD, but it's very good. And it basically deals with, obviously, wrestling families throughout history. You know, we're talking like the Gagnas, the Harts, the Ortons, you know, even Carlito's family, the Colognes.
The Jarretts.
Nope, the Jarretts weren't involved in this one.
Wow.
Well, because it's, you know, a WWE-produced video, right? But
shocking.
Watching that, you know, Randy Orton, and this, I think this DVD came out in 2009, I believe. Maybe late 2008, 2009. So he was still blooming as far as, you know, the superstar that he has become. And, you know, when you go back and you look at the stories with the Gagnas and the Hart family, and when you see how they came up in the business and how it's completely different than today, you know, it makes you respect what they went through. Now, you're a developmental guy. You start wrestling in FCW. You've been there 6 months. They like you. They throw you on that main roster with very little training, and you're just made to go out there, and you're pretty much thrown to the wolves. You know, we see guys that can't come out and cut a promo. We see guys that are still green in the ring. They wrestle once or twice, and then they get sent back down to developmental because WWE made a mistake in bringing them up. You didn't get that back in the day. Yes, the Von Erichs were in this DMG. In fact, they had a good section on the Von Erichs. And they're always close to my heart because I grew up in, you know, the Arkansas, and I actually grew up in Texas and met Kerry Von Erich when I was 12. So Von Erichs are always there. But it's just, it's a different time. You know, and I've caught a little bit of this Tough Enough show with Steve Austin. And I've seen the way that he kind of coaches these kids. And it, to me, it's very reminiscent of the old style. You know, he's in there telling them, you fucked up. You did this wrong. And he calls them on their bullshit. And he's mean to them. But he's mean because he has to be. You just don't see that in wrestling these days. It's just different, man.
But I like how he told that old boy, you're greener than goose shit.
I like
that. Yeah,
if
they're going to do Tough Enough in any shape or form next year, Austin's got to be the man.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, he has found another niche within the WWE universe, something he can do besides wrestle. I mean, he's definitely an in-demand character. People want to see him. People want to, you know, watch what he does, and it's just a perfect marriage for him and Tough Enough. I think Trish Stratus and Bill DeMott need to be in there again next year, and they might need to replace Booker T. Not because he sucks, but because he's hardly there.
Well, Booker's got a lot of stuff. He's got his own wrestling school.
You know what they should do? They should bring in Diamond Dallas Page.
Well, maybe that's an idea. I do want to say one other thing on Raw that I was quite interested in. There was a quick little match with Sheamus and Santino Marella. Now, I know a lot of people were bitching.
Of course, Santino.
I know a lot of people were bitching about, you know, why is it that when Santino hits the Cobra on anybody else, it pins them? But when he hits it on Sheamus, Sheamus kicks out like it was nothing. Simply put, they're building Sheamus to be a fucking monster. And I like the evolution of Sheamus. He's come from being a two-time champion to a former U.S. champion to now a guy that's possibly going to be involved, you know, in the World Heavyweight Championship title hunt and a guy that we're seeing a lot more out of. I mean, Sheamus is a very physical guy. We've seen it in matches in the past where if you're not selling for him, he's going to make you sell. You know, he almost is a throwback to the old school. When I look at Sheamus, I see an old school wrestler. And I love the fact that he pulled out the clover leaf.
Oh, it's perfect for him.
Well, yeah, you call it the Irish clover leaf and be done with it.
Irish clover leaf, that's perfect for him.
And I
one thing, I want to make a retraction. Now that the guy is working for the company full-time down in FCW, scratch Diamond Dallas Page, bring in a guy like Kevin Nash to go on Tough Enough to work with the big guys. Because they had two or three big guys this year on Tough Enough. They didn't have any big guy trainers. And that's exactly the reason why they've got him down there in FCW, and you know he would be a great fit on that show because of his charisma. He's another guy people want to watch. He doesn't have to wrestle, just train. which is what he's doing in FCW right now. Kevin Nash would be a perfect fit with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Trish Stratus, and Bill DeMott for Tough Enough.
I agree. And I think that's pretty much it. I like the evolution of Sheamus' character. He's bringing out more moves. We're seeing things from him we haven't seen before. Now he's starting to make people submit like Santino.
I heard a rumor. We need a rumor sounder or something, maybe. I don't know. I heard a rumor that he might do a face turn.
I've heard that, too.
I hope not.
I really prefer him as a heel, but right now you've got all your stock in Christian, who's like the top heel. But on that note, was there anything? What happened in the main event tonight? Because I think I completely missed it.
CM Punk beat the living shit out of John Cena, and they talked about how not only would this hurt tomorrow, but it would really affect Cena on Sunday when he needs to reach down deep and get a little bit out of the reserve tank to fight a guy like R-Truth, who's so dead set on taking the title. And then all of a sudden, boom, Cena made a comeback. R-Truth came out through the crowd talking about little Jimmy this, little Jimmy that. Oh, I found little Jimmy. Here's little Jimmy right here. And it was a little kid dressed from head to toe in John Cena gear. And he said, hey, little Jimmy, I'll trade you a sip of my water for your hat. And the little kid was like, and so he took the hat off the little Jimmy and put it on and was going to spit water on him. And Cena goes, hey, stop, don't. And was too busy watching what Truth was doing in the crowd. Punk spit him around, hit the go to sleep, pinned him clean, 1, 2, 3. Got out of the ring. Truth walked in, took a microphone, and when Cena stood up, he fucking nailed him in the head with that bottle of water and then got down on top of him and said, I'm taking this belt on Sunday, and that's the truth. And he walked away with the belt, posing with the belt. That's how they went to Dark.
Now, see, I could see another scenario, too. I could see a scenario where John Cena does everything in his power to hold on to that belt, and CM Punk becomes next in line to face John Cena and possibly injures him in the next few weeks on Raw and takes the belt. I just think it's a risky proposition to have him continue wrestling more hurt than he is.
Little Jimmy in the chat room says he never did get that sip of water from R-Truth.
But see, right now, CM Punk hasn't re-signed a contract. The rumor
That's
is
right.
He's leaving when his contract is up. So if you put the belt on CM Punk to kind of entice him to stay, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to stay. He'll have a short title run, and then Cena will be the guy to put him out. So, I mean, really, you go with Punk as a viable champion, which he could be. He is one of the major stars on this brand that's not utilized. Or you go with Truth and take a safe route. I don't know. We'll let them figure it out.
But I was watching CM Punk tonight.
Yeah.
And I know I was not a huge fan of it when Jay Lethal did it. But knowing how big of a fan CM Punk was of the Macho Man, I just thought how, you know, if this were the 80s and a wrestler like Macho Man had passed away, could you see CM Punk being the Macho Punk?
That's funny. I'm reading the chat room. Big Paul says he thinks they'll do Punk in Austin at the Rumble. Punk's leaving in the summer. He's gone.
Yeah, but if you promise him to stay and you'll do this, you'll do that, you'll give him Austin at the Rumble, might stay.
But the reason he's not staying is because of the trademark. He owns his name and they want the
name. Well, I'm sure they can work something out. No. That's legal mumbo jumbo. That's something that can be worked out.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is a guy that's kind of been pushed to the back burner when he really was one of the top guys on SmackDown.
Well, when you start rocking the boat.
Well.
In a negative way, that's what happens.
We'll see.
If they come clean and they say, look, here's the deal. You were one of our top guys. Then we start seeing your name on the internet on all these dirt sheets about how you're unhappy and you're saying this and you're saying that and you're saying the other thing. Well, you got to understand that we're not going to give a push to somebody who's doing that. Now, with that being said, if we, being us and you, can get on the same page and we can make you happy and you can make us happy by staying, if we can come to an agreement where we're both happy, we would love to push you to the moon again. And we will once you sign a new contract. That's how shit gets ironed out.
Well, we'll just have to see what happens. But I tell you what, let's go ahead and take our last commercial break of the night.
Ooh, before you do.
Yes.
For those of us that have joined us late, and there have been many, go ahead and announce again what will be on the show next week.
So next week right here on Wrestling News Live, we're going to have a live interview with the brother of the late Macho Man, Randy Savage. The genius, Leaping Lanny Poffo, is going to be on the show to talk with us. And then later on the night in the main event, we will have for you an interview, 15 years in the making, with the showstopper, the main event, the icon, the Hall of Famer, Shawn freaking Michaels.
All next week right here on Wrestling News Live.
That's right. So with that being said, we're going to take our final commercial break of the evening, come back with more Wrestling News Live calls and emails, and we're getting the hell out of here, people. And that is the truth.
Don't boo me, you should boo yourself.
This is Don Bronx, and you're listening to my close personal friends, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay, Wrestling News Live on the SMS Radio Network. This on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site of the SNS Radio Network. You should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE, and you're listening to my very dear, close, personal friends, JJ and Trick. I bet those names right. Yeah, I believe I do. Right here on Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
Good hello. I am Sergei Heminov, Russia's three-time World Rubik's Cube Champion of the Rubik's Cube. When I relax, I like to make sexy with woman. But in spare time, I listen to radio on interwebs. I like to have opinion and ask questions to people who are the best. If you are like me and like to make sexy with woman and listen to radio, then you need to listen to What Would Fans Do? A show that is for the fans. The people like me, the people like you, and the people like me. Remember to send your emails for opinion, ideas, suggest, or Molotov cocktails to wwfd@ymail.com. Join Mr. Nem, Mr. Zod, and Mr. Diablo for What Would Fans Do? Download every Saturday on here, the SNS Radio Network. Now join in having some vodka. What? You're 15? Never too young to have vodka. Have some vodka. No, tis quality vodka. Not like this accent.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Wrestling Radio Tips on how to host your very own wrestling radio show. Wrestling Radio Tip 101, take listener phone calls. Here's how it works. You set up a phone line, and when a listener calls in, you answer just like this.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Okay.
I don't really follow Hulk Hogan because I just kind of find him up to be a washed up douchebag.
Skeet, 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 skeet. Yeah.
It's been booming at the warehouse with Sin Cara just starting in WWE. The t-shirts and the masks have been up in the sky. So your tennis shoes are in the side. I told Julio to hold up on them. All we have to wait for the shoelaces to come in the bottom sole.
What?
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 Ah, come on,
there.
That's the last thing you want.
Okay.
Well, what you gonna do, brother? Well, I just take off my shirt.
Yeah.
Say my prayers. Eat my vitamins.
Yeah.
Say no to the holy God. And I'm gonna go after you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you gonna do when the 2-inch pythons run wild on you?
Bye, nigga.
I don't know if I chose to wrestle or wrestling chose me. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is a part of me. This is something that I can't get out of my head. This is when I go to bed at night. This is what I think about. When you step into this ring, when you step into an impact ring, you gotta love what you do. We are more than just entertainment. We are the best at what we do, and what we do is wrestle. Impact Wrestling, where wrestling matters again.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
Hey, it's Big Sexy, Kevin Nash.
Hey, yo, say hello to the back guy, Scott Hall.
Scott Hall and Kevin Nash are the true World Tag Champions.
You're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
One more for the good guy.
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
All right, guys, we're back right here, Wrestling News Live. I, of course, Mr. Money on the mic, JJ All Caps Sexay, and I'm joined, of course, by my colleague, the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog. And, listening to that Wrestling Matters promo by AJ Styles, you know, I think I teased this last week. Trey, I'm really thinking that over the course of the next few weeks, we should put together some Entertainment Matters promos on behalf of the WWE.
Oh, man.
Since, you know, wrestling doesn't matter to the WWE, but entertainment does. You know, we could have such stars like Santino Marella. Hell, we could go even old school. We could bring in Dusty Rhodes and the Ultimate
Dusty
Warrior.
Dusty Rhodes.
Maybe Entertainment Matters. It matters because my fun-coated robe, if you don't watch the show, he will come in and skull-fuck you with the skull-fucking finale, baby. Oh, my goodness.
He'll rip your arm off.
The plunder will be coming. And maybe Cody will be coming, too. I don't know.
Easy. Whoa. Speaking of coming, you got an announcement you want to make?
I guess so. Unless you want to make it.
I can say it as easy as you can.
Well, go for it. I'll let you do it. Since you let me have the other announcement, you go ahead and do this one.
That's not even a fair trade, dude. That's like,
I do it cause
that's
I love
like
you, bro.
Me, that's like me giving you a nickel for your place, your Xbox and all your games. No, I've always wanted to interview this chick anyway, and with what's been going on in her life and the news and everything, China did call. She was about an hour late, and we decided instead of bringing her on then, we'll just wait. We have rescheduled with China. And hopefully not next week, but the week after, we will have China on the show. Next week, of course, already booked with Lanny Poffo and then the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, the showstopper, the main eventer, the Hall of Famer, live right here. Well, not live because Shawn will be pre-taped, but the interview will air next Monday night right here on the show. And then following that, we will have the Ninth Wonder of the World, China, the week after. if everything goes as planned.
Well, pending an actual reschedulement. We haven't done it yet, but we will.
Yeah, but we will. So it's just, you know.
Like I said, I reserved, we even started the show 5 minutes early for her. So that first hour.
And like I said, you know, it could be a time zone thing where she got confused on the time zone. You
that
know.
That might be the case. I don't mean to sound like a hard ass, but when I book you for the show.
You are a hard ass.
And
though.
You don't fucking show up. Sorry. When you do call an hour into it and we're in the middle of doing news and stuff. Sorry. I don't have time for you. That's why I booked you for earlier in the show. And I started 5 minutes earlier. That kind of bothers me. But we'll
You're
reschedule
a
with her.
Hard ass.
I am
man.
A hard ass. I think I'm a hard ass now. Just wait.
You are like. Fucking John Wayne toilet paper.
Hey, you motherfuckers wanted a hard ass to run this fucking network. It's because of you that I have to be a hard ass. Somebody's got to be the boss around here.
Somebody's got to be a dick, and it might as well be JJ.
That's right. I've said for years I'm an asshole.
I'm an asshole.
Besides that, you can't blame me. I've been stood up how many times in the last little bit by guys like Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin?
Yeah, world's greatest no-shows.
Charlie Haas's word, and then my book is shit. I'll never book that guy again.
Never, ever, on any show on this network.
I don't care if Ring of Honor begs me to book him. I'll say, fuck
and if you.
You
are on this network and you book him, you're fired.
You heard it here first.
And then Harmony's going to come over and beat up your wife if you got one. If you got a girlfriend, she'll beat her up.
She'll cold cock you.
If you got a boyfriend, she'll beat him up.
So with that being said, yeah, it looks like we're going to try and reschedule something with China. At least she did call, even though she was an hour and such late. So with that said, we're going to open up the phone lines and read a few emails before we get out of here. So if you have something you'd like to talk about here on the program, the number to call, of course, 501-588-7957. Or if you're in the chat room and you want to use the Google Call Me widget, you know how to do it. Just follow the directions, put your phone number in and your name, and a call will magically happen that will be toll-free for you. Again, if you're on Skype, Sunday Night Showdown to your buddy list. And the phone lines are now open, so let the calls commence. Bring it.
Bring it, he says.
Just bring it.
After we spent 5 minutes talking about how big of an asshole he is, now he's asking you to call us.
Oh, what?
Don't be scared.
I can't go from zero to dick in 5 seconds? What? What's wrong with that?
There's a joke in there somewhere, I'm sure.
There might be. But with that said, let's go to the phone lines. And I believe joining us here on the show, welcome to Wrestling News Live. I know who this is, but who is it?
What's up, JJ? You're being a real heel tonight, man.
He is. You see what I got to work with after last week? You see what I got to work with? I mean, shit, fire, stay the matches. Fuck a duck and see what hatches.
Well, you know what? In porno, there's a lot of takes. So let's give China a second take. You know, if she can't get it right in the second take, then, well... can you do?
Well, look, I've got her number. I'll call her after the show, and I'll try to reschedule something, right? But, again, when I book you and I get it confirmed with my booker that it's going to happen at a certain time, it does not do you any favors not to show up.
Is that Booker T?
No, my booker is not Booker T.
Oh, okay. Because he's just a Booker T. Booker T! He's not no sucker. Sucker!
All right, so what's on your mind, man?
I have something quick to say about the TNA pay-per-view last night, and that is that I give up. What I mean by I give up is it doesn't pay anymore to try to be fair or to defend things because I've realized that the IWC hates on TNA the way a kid who hates a certain kind of music listens to it anyway so he can be cool with his friends. There is no way. I mean, I've looked at polls on various sites that say that that pay-per-view was an F last night. Now, one of two things is happening. Either A, this generation of wrestlers is more fucked up than I can even imagine, or B, it's just people pretending to hate on TNA so they can be cool. I mean, I've gone into chat rooms and been kicked out for defending TNA. And, yeah, I had some butt hurt when, you know, Jeff Hardy did what he did. But I said, you know what, why should I let one junkie ruin good wrestling for me? To say last night's pay-per-view was an F or was horrible, you're either full of shit or you're a mark. So I'm not even going to bother with this topic ever again. It's never going to change. They're going to wait till this company dies, and then the same people who wouldn't back it up will bitch that there's only one company.
Very true. My question is, what can be done? Because, sure, I mean, to me, and JJ and I talked about this off the air, short of shutting that fucking thing down and starting a brand new company with a figurehead that's not a Jarrett or a Carter, if they appoint somebody to play the role of owner, short of doing that, what can they do? Because Eric Bischoff makes a very good point when he says it's the loudest 10% that get heard. You know, I feel the same way about TNA and about ratings. And you guys know in the past, I'm not a big ratings guy. What other people think doesn't change my opinion whatsoever. And 90% of the time, when I see a movie review and the people that review movies trash on a movie, I end up liking the shit out of it. True story. Now, it's the same thing with wrestling. They say only 1.1 million people watched. Okay, here's the deal. They put those Nielsen boxes in so many homes. Then they take that, they multiply the number they get from the Nielsen boxes per the census of the American viewing public, and they come up with a number. That's how it works. Same thing for radio. I hate radio ratings because they send something in the mail to 20 people that live in your area. They take the answers that those 20 people get, multiply it by the census of the people that live in that city, and that's how they come up with their ratings. That's bullshit. How am I to know that 20 people have the same likes, interests, or taste that I have? Because they watch 15 hours of the Cooking Channel, and the Cooking Channel is the number one thing on the network this year, voted for it, or they watched it, and I didn't. That's the number one show in America because 20 people said so? No. Just because the people with the Nielsen boxes aren't necessarily watching TNA doesn't mean it's a failure. How do you know that the other 90% of the people that don't have those boxes aren't watching it? Just because the 10% that do have a certain taste or a certain pattern or a certain schedule that they watch on television? Just because you like MacGyver doesn't mean I'm going to like the motherfucker. And just because you watch it all day doesn't mean I should.
Well, I mean, another thing I'll ask you is how many people who trash on TNA, I mean, I bet you there's a bunch of guys who sit around and watch TNA.
There's that fucking song again.
What song? Oh, my God. All right. I'm a bit derailed here. What I was going to say is, how many people who watch TNA and then write bad shit about it or do radio shows talking shit on it really like it, but pretend they don't just so they can be fucking popular? You know, there are a lot of idiots out there who care what people think. I don't give a shit what, you know, if you don't like what I think, too damn bad, but I'll tell you how I think. I'm not going to go with the flow to be popular because I'm 33 years old. I cannot imagine that the modern wrestling fan has degenerated to the point where the majority of people legitimately believe last night's pay-per-view was bad. I call bullshit.
Well, I listened to The Law with you last night. And they trashed everything except the AJ Bully Ray match and the opening tag team match. They trashed everything other than those two matches, and even trashed those two matches to an extent. You know, then I go on Twitter and I read what other fans are saying, but it's ironic to who they're saying it to.
Right.
It's like our following here in the Wrestling Us family. We report what we honestly feel about the TNA product. Not everybody in here will agree with us. And they didn't last night. When I said I gave the pay-per-view an A, people were saying, oh, come on, Trey. It was a B, B plus at best. But that's their opinion. But a B, B plus at best is far from a fucking F.
Absolutely.
And if you watch the pattern of the people from the S&S network talking to us, the hosts of said shows, they're all in the same category of, you know, A's, B's, C at the worst. Then you go to another show's website, and because that show trashes the TNA product on a continuous basis, their listener base also trashes TNA just to be on the same page as the hosts of that show. It'd be like me talking how the pay-per-view was an A, you know, and then somebody calling in who didn't watch it, but they fully agree with me because I'm their host of choice and I'm their show of choice. And they don't want to let me down. They want me to think they're cool as I am, so they just agree with me.
Well, you have
a
point.
That's a big part of it.
Well, I've got two more things to say real quick. The first is that I want to back up Trey on something. When I check out a TNA stream, there are times where I'll literally see hundreds of thousands of people in there watching. Those are people who aren't paying. So again, your pay-per-view buy rate, really, the numbers are bullshit because you've got, I mean, look, you look up TNA stream on Google, I hate to say it, you'll find it in a second. It's not like, you know, WWE streams where it's shit. I mean, you gotta know someone from Al-Qaeda to find a goddamn WWE stream that works. But again, right, they're not policing the streams. And the second thing I want to say is, to anyone who's listening to this show, the live feed that I'm getting is maybe a few seconds behind the Ustream feed. And that's because the SNS Radio Network has something called a set of balls and allow their callers to be on live. They don't let people call in, record their shit, and then if the hosts feel that they can't combat the caller that's calling in, they just eliminate the fucking call. You know, if you really want to copy WNL, because everyone does it, copy them for the better and take live calls and have a set of balls. That's all I want to say. You guys have a good night.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate take that, care, Bronx.
I know what you're talking about.
On that note, I guess we have a mystery to solve. Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries, why are other radio shows not like Wrestling News Live? Trey, any explanation?
They try to be. They really do. I mean, I have to admit that they try to be. I'm almost afraid that next week's going to come around and Shawn Michaels is going to be on 30 fucking wrestling shows.
Before we delve deep into the unsolved that is other radio shows trying to copy us, I do believe we have somebody waiting in the wings. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who is this?
It's Anthony from the chat.
Anthony, what's on
Anthony.
Your mind? Maybe you can... Maybe, hold on, Anthony. Maybe you can solve a mystery.
What's the question?
Why do other radio shows try to mimic us? Why can't they be like us?
Because your guys are good.
Oh, there you go. Mystery solved.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I want to reiterate the point that I was making before we get to Anthony, that, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's the way that I can stress my thought. We are the shepherds and you guys are the sheep. The way that I'm getting at this is that these other shows 24/7 trash TNA. Trash, 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 trash. Well, that's all their listener base knows to do is to trash, 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 trash. And if they do take phone calls and they get a positive call, they don't air it or they hang up on that person. And we experienced that last night. Now, that was a little bit about what Bronx was alluding to. Also, you know, Eric Bischoff was right. You take the internet community as a whole, you take the loudest 10%, and they're the ones that are so passionate that they fight TNA like, you know, it's the only thing in their life is to trash TNA. And that's why so many people hear what they have to say. The problem is, as good as that fucking show was last night, and I really think that due to Hogan and all the back surgeries and all the bullshit in his life, I really do think he's finally just now getting to where his presence is felt on the TNA product, because I see a lot of subtle changes that weren't there before that have happened recently that just tell me that Hogan's now finally put his thumbprint on the product. even after a show last night, like they had last night, and impacts like they've had for the last 2 or 3 months, I don't know what else they can do. I really don't. Because at the end of the day, all the internet's going to do is complain and cry. And it's sad. It's sad that other radio shows and their listener base can't have their own opinions. That's why you're always welcome to agree and disagree with anything that's said on this network. We encourage you to have your own fucking opinion. Don't be a sheep. Don't be a zombie. Don't call in to kiss our ass and to lick my sack. Call in and tell me what you really think. And with that being said, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Oh, okay. I was just listening to you two, so I kind of was not paying attention to anything else. What I got to say is, first off, congrats again, those two interviews for next week. I'm with everyone in the chat saying it's going to be epic next week.
We hope so.
And also, I did not see the pay-per-view, so I can't give my comments about it. But I think it's easier for people to bitch and complain about something than saying, okay, this was good, this isn't good, or at least giving a reason why they can make it better.
And a part of it's weird because, you know, 90% of the people that bitch about TNA don't watch it. They read spoilers, you know. They read the spoilers, and then they make an opinion on what they read. And it's just like you can't tell somebody's emotion from text. You can't tell if somebody's being sarcastic or not from text. There's no emotion in text. So watching the show and reading about it are two totally different feelings. And the sad thing is, until TNA nuts up and goes live to eliminate that shit, they're always going to have that problem. And people read shit, they don't get as much, they don't get emotionally invested like they do when they see it, so they shit on it. Or people come into a chat room and read who won by whatever somebody types in a chat room without watching the match. If I were to tell you Bully Ray beat AJ Styles in a last man standing match, you'd go, oh, well, that kind of sucks. But it was a great fucking match. And you don't get any of what happened in that match from me saying Bully Ray beat AJ Styles. You get nothing out of that.
Yeah, also it was officially the first one-on-one match, so it somewhat was all right for Bully to win the match the way he did.
It was a great ending.
He continued this feud.
You know, I say it again. People complain all the time about how PG and Disney-fied WWE programming has become. Then TNA goes and does a couple of sweet-ass swerve endings last night that, yeah, you have to think about. Use your fucking brain for a minute. And people shit all over it, you know? That fucking title change last night between Sting and Anderson was awesome. But because the live crowd didn't get it, people were like, what? Oh, well, that sucks. That's dumb. No, it wasn't. It was great. But if you read on a fucking dirt sheet how it happened, or you get somebody like me to tell you how it happened, it has nowhere near the impact, no pun intended, of seeing it live for yourself.
Anything else, Anthony?
Yes, I remember listening to the Rewind last week, and Andy Knowles was all complaining about The Miz is getting buried because of this feud with Riley, and I disagree, because sometimes you have to get one of the bigger time stars and like get him away from that big title pitch or whatever and help him try to elevate somebody who's getting up. And I think working with Riley will help both Riley and The Miz, because they need to elevate other people now, because, like you said, Cena's hurt. He needs to take time off, and they can't always rely on Cena.
I agree. I mean, I don't have a problem with Riley and The Miz. My concern with that initially was that you had Riley on SmackDown, and then they, I guess, decided to abort that scenario and keep him on Raw without any fanfare. It was just
they
like
they traded somebody to SmackDown for Riley. At least that would make somewhat sense.
Well, it's WWE. They're not allowed to make sense. But
we're supposed to
forget bullshit logic.
He was drafted.
Well, Anthony, thanks for the call, man.
No problem.
We'll talk
to you
soon.
Bye.
All right, we're starting to get the phone lines lit up. Let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
This is a person who, let me just say this really quickly. I'm fucking happy the Mavs won last night. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Fuck LeBron.
I'm not really hating on LeBron that much. I can
taking my tears to South Beach.
That's a good one, Trey.
Yeah. But onto the wrestling side of things. Now, with Capital Punishment coming on... Oh, and my name is Randy, for those of y'all that didn't hear me.
Well, we know who you are, Randy. It's Randy McWilliams, people. Come on.
They don't know. But...
Get with the program. We know your voice. What's going on?
Yeah, it's very recognizable. Anyway, with Capital Punishment coming up, I'm feeling... Do you think that WWE would have two heels as a world champion, given the Cena situation? And in my eyes, I think Christian's, well, at least I'm thinking Christian's going to win, because they're playing like how they played the whole, because how they played the whole Cena might be hurt and all that. They did the same thing with Orton tonight with the concussion angle.
You know,
I don't think Orton's losing that belt.
Christian is that dark horse in a race that has like 15-1 odds that, you know, if he wins, you're going to be making serious bank. But there's a reason why he's got 15-1 odds at the end of the day. You know, I mean, for some reason, Vince doesn't feel Christian's the man. Now, like somebody told me the other day, in my personal life, I got to actually talk wrestling with a wrestling fan. And he said the outpouring of internet attention that Christian got losing to Randy has shown Vince that the people in the wrestling world do want Christian as a champion and do see him as a main guy. I could agree with that. Only I can't promise you that Vince is listening, because at the end of the day, it's his way or the highway, and he can almost just not care what we think. Now, by the same token, how many times has the internet influenced Vince McMahon's way of doing things? Well, I can think of a few recently. So I guess time will tell, but I just, with Orton being drafted to SmackDown, they finally got him away from Cena. It's his show, ladies and gentlemen. Don't kid yourself. SmackDown is the Randy Orton show, where they hope they can make him the next Stone Cold Steve Austin.
It's much like when they moved Triple H over to SmackDown. It was the Triple H show.
Get ready
for it.
So that's what leads me to believe that we're so focused on John Cena and the Superman comparison and how he never loses and won't lose the belt, that we forget that Randy Orton's kind of the same way.
Well, at the same time, though, I want you to think about this. As far as the SmackDown roster is concerned, if Christian wins the belt, he's obviously the heel here. Who does Christian feud with other than Randy Orton? Who is a credible face?
Yeah, they're pretty fucked.
Yeah. So you've got to almost keep it on Orton right now, because he's got more heel challengers than he does face challengers.
Right, and that's the way it was set up per the draft. They want it that way. They want Randy Orton to have a long list of people to feud with.
I mean, you've got guys
that's
like Mark Henry.
That's why they took the belt off Christian and put on Randy when they did, right after the draft that they just laid out, because they've got 6 to 8 months of programming already booked where Orton's the champion and everybody else is a contender to get in his way.
I mean, you've got guys like Mark Henry. You've got, you know, obviously Sheamus, who right now is still a heel until they turn him face. You've still got Christian in the mix. I would even say, not that they're going to put the belt on him anytime soon, but you've also got the great Khali and Jinder Mahal. You know, Jinder Mahal might be somebody in, you know, 4 or 5 months that they decide to put in a feud with Randy Orton, with the great Khali back in his play. I mean, there's just a lot of storylines right now that could go off having Randy Orton as a face, and I see more of that than putting the belt on Christian right now. So, just my thoughts.
But one thing I've noticed that's interesting, even if you were to say have Christian and R-Truth come out as champion or Cena and Orton stay, you still have Money in the Bank next month.
That's true.
Which could possibly lead to possibly a face change for Money in the Bank, depending on if they were to do it in the style that Punk did the first year, even though that's still heelish at heart, just when he cashed in on Edge, just have him just cash it in like everybody else has done other than Van Damme.
Well, you know, like I said earlier in the show, and I don't want to like sound like I'm the biggest Morrison mark in the world. I know the guy has issues, but I do happen to like the kid. And I think that as far as top faces in the company, he definitely gets a crowd reaction. The crowd's behind him. Considering that if you did take the belt off John Cena, you could have Truth carry the belt. Then when you have the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, he would be my pick to win the Money in the Bank. No problems. And then you could kind of resume the feud with R-Truth and John Morrison with a title on the line, which I think would do, it would do great for a guy like Morrison to get a win over a guy like Truth. He's not beating John Cena, mind you. He's not beating The Miz either. But it still gives him an opportunity to run with the summer and see if he can, you know, build up a credible base behind him. I mean, they always take chances in the summer.
Love our chat room.
I'm wondering what Morrison.
We're talking wrestling. We're talking wrestling, and they're talking about ass to mouth.
Awesome.
Very classy. But I wonder with Morrison, is WWE willing to take the chance on him, considering the whole Melina told him to, or that whole bullshit about Trish at WrestleMania, and then even back to when he was ECW champion, even though he wasn't supposed to get it, but. Yeah, we won't bring up Benoit, but anyway. And even when he had the title, he fucked it up because he failed a drug test.
Well, he's homegrown talent. They're a lot happier with him than they are other people. I don't think it's got anything to do with what Melina says. You can't, you know, you can't fault the guy for who he's putting his dick in because of what she says.
Well, and let's keep in mind the whole drug testing thing. I mean, that was at a time when obviously they were under the microscope and, you know, unfortunately, you can look at a guy like John Morrison and say, yeah, he's got to be on the juice. And, you know, that's why CM Punk got a run.
The abs doesn't do him much favors.
No, no, they really don't. At least he's not bedazzling them anymore. I mean, could be worse, right?
That and him with his...
Looks like somebody shot a load on his abs.
Oh, man. It's breaking down. It's breaking down.
That's what it looked like.
But I think when he comes back, he's in line for a push. I hate to sound like I'm the biggest homer in the world for John Morrison.
Well, they wouldn't have teased it tonight if it didn't mean something later on.
Well, I see a lot of potential. I know he's not great on a microphone. I know that. But that's something that if they give him the opportunity to work with, he can do. Let's keep in mind though, that when he was doing stuff with the Morrison, or with Miz, when they were doing
some on mic work, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when they were doing the Miz and Morrison tag team. And he was doing the mic work then. He and Miz were awesome on the microphone. Very good mic work. But you got to remember, the WWE is scripting what they're supposed to be saying. So when you hear John Morrison come out and cut these stupid, corny-ass promos, it's because he's being told by a writer, word for word, that's what he's got to say. It's not like it was in the Attitude Era, where guys like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin had bullet points to go hit, and they were given the freedom to go out there and do it. That's a big problem with the business today, is you don't have that for guys to do anymore.
Which is sad because either they have no faith in him or they just can't talk for shit in general. Where you have a rare guy like, say, a Punk who was, for anybody that followed him in the indies, just killed every promo he did. The shit he did with Raven and just anything, ROH, hell, even the stuff he did in TNA, even though I didn't really have seen a lot of promos from him in TNA. But Punk's one of those rare ones where he shines when he's on the mic, face or heel. But more heel because it's just fucking awesome.
I mean, look at Dolph Ziggler. I mean, he doesn't talk a whole lot, but when he did commentary the other night, he was on fire. You know, and you look at a guy that does that and shines and has one chance to show what you can do. They put a headset on the guy. He joined the commentary table and was gold. And then you go, huh. Well, we know what that guy's going to do when he retires. You know,
pretty much. I mean, but then you have cases like McGillicuddy.
You either got it or you don't.
Pretty much.
Anything else, Randy?
Nah, that's pretty much it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Rigo, I love you to death. I will forever be in your debt. But some of the shit you say in the chat room leads me to believe you are one fucked up dude.
I'll tell you what. Let's go to the phone lines and take our last call before we read some emails and get out of here. Welcome
did you
to,
see what he said?
I did. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Well, this would be the number one contender for the world's worst accent on the SNS radio network.
It is Sergey Romanov.
It will be Sergey Romanov. Yes, it's Nam, guys. How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up?
Not too much. I managed to catch the last hour of Raw after doing a film shoot for the last 3 days. Mate's music clip. And I also managed to catch a repeat of Slammiversary. And I actually have to go back on what I said on WWFD, what I archived it. I said that I didn't I actually called out Eric Bischoff, if anyone heard it. I called out Eric Bischoff and said to him that, look, sometimes the loudest 10% are right. You know how we're talking about the 10%, the internet smarts and all that. Sometimes the 10% are right, but how I meant that was, obviously, yes, the 10% are screaming their heads off saying that TNA sucks, but the minority of that, namely myself and maybe a handful of other people, are saying that TNA sucks because we want it to be better. We're actually screaming this out to say, look, for God's sake, do something about it. We actually want you to be a good wrestling company. And at the same time, I said that about the TNA pay-per-view. I said, look, some of these matches on this card suck. And if they do this wrong, it's going to be terrible. And I went into watching it thinking, God, it's going to be a two-star pay-per-view. Tops. Two-star pay-per-view tops. And I was blown away by exactly what was given to me at Slammiversary. Obviously, I'm upset that there's no King of the Mountain match. But it was a fantastic pay-per-view. Oh, like, they did screw up a couple of things, as there is in every pay-per-view. Like, obviously no pay-per-view is going to be 100% exactly what we want, or exactly 100% on the ball. But this was a 3.5-4-star pay-per-view. Like, and it's how I'm looking at things now, is that Impact is getting shit on by Raw and SmackDown. The TNA's pay-per-views are blowing WWE's out of the water in comparison to, not overall quality. That's not really the way I'm trying to think of it, but that's probably how I'm gonna describe it. Like, the tag team title match, brilliant, considering they've got two of the best tag teams halved and put together against the British Invasion, who are also of a very good tag team. Beautiful. Matt Morgan getting over on Steiner, brilliant. Abyss still being X Division champion. Let's hope that he goes back to an X Division star at Destination X, which is exactly what we predicted. Crimson still being undefeated. Knockouts title match was a little botched, but who cares? Bully Ray in the Last Man Standing match, brilliant. Better than Orton Punk as far as I'm concerned. Anderson winning the world title for the second time, brilliant, and a little bit of a botching here and there, but I didn't really go into that match with an overall perspective of exactly who was going to win, because I'm still tossing and turning. And again, Angle stealing the show again, fantastic. Man, I'm just blown away by Slammiversary.
Let me explain to you. You said that, you know, WWE shits on Impact. You got to understand, TNA, they only have 2 hours a week to make you interested in that pay-per-view at the end of the month. WWE has SmackDown, they have Raw, they have the internet programming, they've got superstars still in some places from what I understand. And even if they didn't, they still have a lot more programming. They've got the juggernaut of USA promoting WWE Raw so many times a day that even as a wrestling fan, if I'm watching USA programming, I get sick of hearing about the fucking WWE. TNA doesn't have any of that promotion. Spike doesn't promote them worth a fuck. They don't advertise themselves worth a fuck. And they've only got 2 hours of programming a week to get you interested.
Yeah, and the one thing about that, of where I was saying with that, was like of how to be built up to the pay-per-view. I think it was a couple of weeks ago on Impact when I was watching it, and it was just like this show is not going to make me buy the pay per view. And it's happening the same thing on the WWE, but it's happening worse on TNA. And I guess that's what I was trying to get at.
You know, something that I thought tonight that I should have probably brought up during the Raw recap, but something I thought tonight in the comparison of WWE and TNA, and I'm always thinking, I'm always trying to figure out what TNA can do to really step up. I mean, they're number two, but they're number two by default. They just happen to be the only other program out there.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, the WWE has one thing TNA will not have for a long time now. And God bless TNA. I hope they make it long enough to get this in their repertoire. But the one thing the WWE can always rely on, even when they don't have anything worth a fuck planned, just like tonight, case in point, WWE says, shit, we owe USA Network an hour because Tough Enough ended last week. Tough Enough essentially ended earlier than it was supposed to because they had major injuries. The show was supposed to have been a week longer than it really was on the schedule. That left them owing the USA Network an hour of programming tonight. That's why they went with a three-hour Raw. Okay? Let's just say that happened the way it happened. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, we'll have a three-hour Raw. Well, we really don't have a whole lot to put out there right now. We're promoting a pay-per-view. It's our go-home show. What can we do? Well, the one thing they can always do that TNA can't is pull out a legend. Pull out a Hall of Famer from their Hall of Fame class. Pull out somebody from the Attitude Era, be it The Rock, be it Shawn Michaels, be it Stone Cold, and put them in charge tonight. Because that, really, Stone Cold being there and being the general manager was the only thing that made that show really watchable tonight, in my opinion. They had good matchups, but they had two or three matches that ended up with you know, a DQ finish. So what was the point in having the fucking match? We didn't get a winner.
True that. Exactly, yeah.
True that.
You know, but the one thing that the WWE can always do is call up The Rock. Call up Mick Foley now. Call up Austin. Call up The Undertaker. Call up Shawn Michaels. Hell, even bring in Kevin Nash. Somebody from the Attitude Era. And say, okay, we're going to make you general manager of the night. And we're going to make it look like you're putting all these amazing matches together. And that's how we're going to fill our three-hour show.
Yep, that's a good point.
TNA doesn't have that luxury yet.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. Exactly right.
Nam, anything else, brother?
Not much. You've already plugged the show a couple times. Don't really need to do it. So, all good, guys. I'll catch you guys next week, tomorrow for the Colescast, etc.
All right, Nam. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Catch you later.
I actually found myself today walking around my house talking in Russian like Sergey.
That's awesome. Let's go back to the phone lines. This is our last call of the night. Welcome to the show. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's L-Train.
L-Train, what's on your mind?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I had two little quick things that I wanted to bring up. One is mainly just some of the highlights that I saw from Raw tonight. Even though Raw's been kind of down in the dumps a bit in the past few weeks, as far as some of the entertainment parts of it, at least, it was actually pretty cool. I was digging. The two high spots for me, I think, were the interaction both one backstage with Punk and Austin. I thought they had some real good stuff going on. I was amused at some of the liners Punk was throwing at Austin, imitating the whole what thing, and Austin coming back on some of Punk's insults, like accusing him of being drunk on the job, saying, "Did you say the alphabet fast?" And Austin's response, "I could whip your ass backwards." You know what? Piper and Miz at the very beginning, I thought that was awesome. They both brought some hilarious jabs at each other. I thought it was a great moment right there. And looking at those two spots, it actually makes me think, you know, you're seeing older stars like Austin and Piper, and they're really doing some great work here with some of the newer stars like Punk and Miz.
But, you know, Piper's always good for that. I mean, he's always been a guy that can motivate people with his speeches. I mean, that's one of the things I love about Rowdy Piper, one of my favorites growing up, is that he's so good at what he does, whether it was in the ring, whether it was in the promo, whether he was face, whether he was heel.
And Austin's just Austin.
Yeah, Austin's Austin. You can't go wrong with him.
Hey, maybe they'll use Piper as a part of this whole manager thing with Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? L-Train, is that it or anything else?
Well, the last thing is what got brought up as far as Michael Tarver and I think two other people getting released. Do you think this is the start of the whole spring cleaning thing that WWE is going to be doing with the rosters? Do you expect any more people to get cut this week?
Yeah, I would think more developmental people get cut. Maybe some underutilized talent will probably get cut.
I guess we'll hear more about that. But really, I'm glad I...
There won't be any names you really know, probably, but people that, you know...
I don't know. D.H. Smith might be one of them.
Who?
D.H. Smith. Haven't seen him on TV in forever.
Yeah, that could be one that you might hear. Throw in a Deaver or two.
True that.
I might get the actually. I haven't seen him in a while.
All right, L-Train, thanks for the call, brother.
No problem. You guys take care.
All right, man. You too.
All right, buddy.
All right. With that said, the phone calls are over tonight, so we're going to go ahead and read a couple of emails and skedaddle out of here. We always run longer.
Skadoosh.
We always run longer than I plan, but I guess that's just the show.
I guess
that's just the way it is.
I got mail! Yay! I got mail! Yay!
Of course you have an email, you idiot! Just read it!
Wow. All right, this first one. You always fuck me up with that shit.
He's so fucking mean as a little retarded guy.
He kind of is. This first one comes to us from our good friend Philio. It's entitled Raw vs. SmackDown, Cena Leaving, and Hogan and Bischoff. This one's a little lengthy, so I'm going to run through it pretty quick.
Paraphrase.
Trey and JJ.
That's us.
Yeah. I've been on a boycott of Raw, much like JJ has for the past few weeks. I keep up with the recaps because I'm waiting for something that tells me it is okay to turn Raw on again. In the meantime, I've found that SmackDown has become quite an interesting and entertaining show from a wrestling standpoint. Hey, WWE, did you hear that? I was entertained by wrestling. What a concept. I remember several years ago that the running joke amongst the IWC was that Raw was the sports entertainment show and that SmackDown was the wrestling show. That joke has never been as true as it is now. Is it any wonder that Raw ratings has been stagnant and mediocre compared to what they used to be? On the other hand, SmackDown is apparently doing really well considering it's on the Sci-Fi Network, which isn't exactly a big-time prime cable network like USA. If SmackDown, or if watching Raw was good as it is on SmackDown, I think the WWE product would become more popular. As for John Cena, I heard reports that he's having hip problems and other injuries that are much more serious than he lets on. I say this is the perfect chance for Cena to get some time off camera, let him take 8 months or so off, heal his injuries, then come back. We all know he's the franchise player for the WWE, and if Vince wants to keep his franchise player both popular and healthy, he'll find a way to keep him off TV. Especially if you're going to have a WrestleMania match with Cena and The Rock. Bischoff and Hogan, two men whose positive contributions to professional wrestling can only be matched and overshadowed by their egos and their self-denial. Lately, both have had it out for the IWC and for opinionated wrestling fans. Both of them think that it was the small group of internet fans that killed WCW and are killing TNA, and that these Mountain Dew and Cheeto crowd fans, bad move, guys. I'm on the internet, but I'm actually the kind of fan TNA wants. I like wrestling. I have money to spend. I have a kid who's getting into wrestling, and I don't like Cheetos. Hogan said something like 10% of us killed WCW for the 90% who liked it. I'm assuming 90% must have been those who were getting all those free tickets in the mail to Nitro shows. I have been giving Hogan and Bischoff a pass lately because TNA hasn't sucked as much as it did several months ago, but if this is how they feel towards those of us who have problems with their product, then as far as I'm concerned, these two aren't even worth a yeast-inflicted clit drip.
Wow.
My novel of an email is over. Have a great evening, guys. Catch you on the archive. Philio.
How can you not like Cheetos?
Nice email. I like it. Next up.
A yeast-infected clit drip?
That's what he said. Yep.
Wow. I could even do that. I could even say something like that.
This next one comes to us from Tyson Wharton. And Tyson says, JJ and Trey, that's us, as you both know, I've become a big fan of you guys about 2 months ago. I went to WrestleZone.com last night and watched a video of their guys doing this week's wrestling news. And now I really do know why you are the absolute best. Boy, did they suck ass. Then this gets better. Is she going to be okay?
Just the way you read that. So I went to the store the other day and the fucking store exploded. Somebody dropped a bomb.
Boy, did they suck ass. Then this one douche commented on how Mr. Anderson at TNA had a 10-year-old kid's body and couldn't wrestle, and I wanted to come through my computer and kick the queef out of this guy.
He got pussy grips and queefs and two back-to-back emails.
He had the body of an obese frat boy. Then they just buried other wrestlers on it, too. I guess I'm just glad I have my SNS radio network. Keep up the good work, and I can't wait for the China interview and the review for the TNA ending porno. Tell Trey to ask China if she wants to make a video called In the Doghouse with Trey Dog in China. Well, you two are waiting just like us for that China interview. Oh, this next one comes to us from the UK from old Danny Knott.
Back door to the doghouse.
And Danny says he has an idea for a new segment.
Okay.
Hey, guys, just thought I'd say the SNS Radio Network is on a major roll this year. I'm enjoying all the shows, and long may the success continue. It was when I listened to What Would Fans Do that I came up with an idea for a segment that potentially could be funnier than Krelly singing Power Rangers.
Well, I don't know.
It could also take up a part of the Raw recap since JJ doesn't watch it anymore. JJ and Trey, I know you guys are disgruntled with the state of pro wrestling today, as are a lot of people. But there's one person's opinion that we unfortunately don't get to hear anymore that would give us so many laughs as in previous years. So with that being said, the segment I propose for WNL is What Would JSK Say? In which JJ can read out current wrestling news and Trey could tell us what JSK would have said in response. I know a lot of WNL family know about JSK and miss him, but I think this would be a great segment not only to remember him by, but also introduce him to newer fans who don't know about our fallen soldier. I'd love to hear your opinions on this idea. Take care, guys. Danny.
Oh,
that would only work if we could actually take snippets from JSK's past shows.
Yeah, yeah, and he's got some singers.
I'm gonna put you in the junk.
Fucking Don Bronx talking about the China Trey Dog porno. One dog in China.
One dog in China. Oh shit. I was gonna read Mac Daddy's, but it's a novel. He said, "Don't worry about it tonight because we've covered a lot of the stuff."
There's supposedly one in there for me that's about Pop-Tarts that has to be read.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Okay.
This next one is from Jack Jackson. No relation, I don't think.
Wow, okay.
Thanks for the laughs. Hey, Trey and JJ.
I had
to send an email thanking you for the great laughs last week. After listening to your show, I had a meeting, and I literally went into the room with a stomach ache and tears in my eyes. I even think I threw out the term slavish somewhere in the meeting. You guys have to seriously think of doing stand-up comedy. I see the next Abbott and Costello. Thanks again. Always listening to the archive.
Oh, well, thank you for the email. It's good to know that you're out there. I can't stress this enough. If you're an archive listener and we don't know who you are because you're not in the chat room, please email us your thoughts. I love getting emails from new people that I've never heard of before, like Jack Jackson, who is probably unemployed right now due to our stupidity.
Oh, that's good stuff, man. I love it.
I was talking with Deadeye and Horseman the other night about that epic show. And I was like, I was laughing so hard the minute that music hit that I fucked the Pope and his delivery of his sermon up. Because he didn't realize why I was laughing. I don't think anybody did at first.
You listen hard enough, you can hear me laughing in the background before the music
plays.
Oh,
I know. I know. You can hear you giggling in the background.
This next one comes to us from the Lou.
The Lou?
Good evening, guys. It's the Lou in Houston / the Archives. So last night I gave Dixie Carter a piece of my hard-earned paycheck for a couple of hours of pleasurable excitement, thrills, and some surprises. No, not like you think. Get your minds out of the gutter.
Besides, I was saying, did she do a porno too?
Besides, I said a couple hours, not minutes.
Where did you buy that one?
I said a couple hours, not minutes. So we have now seen three consecutive high quality B plus or greater TNA pay-per-views. Granted, while these shows weren't on the level of WrestleMania 17, Royal Rumble 2000, or No Mercy 1999.
Now that I will agree with.
They still have been better than anything the E has churned out lately. I cannot name the last time the E put out three consecutive high quality shows like this. In fact, I would say we haven't seen a high quality WWE pay-per-view so far in 2011. Aside from TLC.
I said that too.
Which was still only a C minus, and I'm not alone. Look at the numbers for Over the Limit. They were the worst for the WWE since December to Dismember. Y'all's thoughts?
Ouch.
So, TNA, wonderful job. You've just proven that you can create a quality product when you put your minds to it. Now prove you can do it on television so Spike doesn't drop your asses for failing in the ratings. As always...
But, hold on a second. But that's just it, though, Lou, is that it's the highest rated show they've got. They're not going to drop TNA anytime soon. TNA is their number one program.
So Brox apparently thinks I play the People's Court music while he was on because he's Italian. And I'm saying that Italians are always in court. Actually, no, you said something about the court, and that's why I went and got the file for the People's Court. You did say that.
I wasn't sure why you played it. I just know that it brought back memories of the week before, and I started laughing.
No, he said something about taking the IWC to court or something about Eric Bischoff or something with court in it. And I thought, oh, hell, that's just a prime opportunity to bring up the People's Court. So that's why I did. I was having fun, so it's all good. Well, that and he's Italian, so, I mean, let's be honest. As always, thank you so much for all your hard work. Viva la familia. Di notizia lucha libre. P.S. I never welch on a bet tray. Frosted strawberries is promised, and there's an image of a Pop-Tart. So, you get a Pop-Tart.
Beans and disease to you too, brother.
And let's see. I think that's all I have in the WLN account. So,
wait
a second. I got one in Sunday Night Showdown for this show. You're sending it to the wrong email, people. DJ, this means you.
Man, BJ?
Raw was, well, great. Crowley should just have sex with his PS3 to fix it. China should have a career in horse porn.
Whoa.
Raw was great. Raw was great for a show before another pay-per-view that should make all the Raw 3 hours before a big show. I don't like the idea of the viewer's choice. They should just keep that as a side pay-per-view on its own. The great thing is TNA pay-per-view did not suck. I enjoyed it as a wrestling fan. TNA needs to fucking take its show to other cities and not stay in one place. Do what the WWE does and be on the road 300 plus days of the year. Chris Cash cannot do an interview to save his goddamn life. In the first 12 minutes of him and Bischoff is boring as motherfucker, and the sad part is he's putting it into 8 parts with 10-minute intervals. Can't you fucking put it all together? Dusty voice. Oh, my God, this guy's a fucking idiot. Get the ears. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
goodness. I kill myself.
You forgot, I don't have nothing to say. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Plunder, baby, plunder. American Dream is tired.
You busted.
It's late. The American Dream is tired, baby.
You didn't have anything else to say, so you just threw it in. Oh, my goodness.
I have that. I phoned it in. I'm sorry.
He phoned that one in bad.
Let's see. Capital Punishment. Dolph Ziggler defeats Kofi. New U.S. champ. Ray over CM Punk. Punk needs to seriously get a match with Austin. Del Rio over Big Show. Fuck this feud. Jackson over Barrett. New Intercontinental Champion. Orton over Christian. Vince hates Christian. Fuck Vince and his ugly ass wife. Damn. Alex Riley over Miz. Great match. Great feud. John Superman Cena retains over the Suntan Superman. R-Truth. Vince hates the black man.
I was racking my brain the other day trying to think of what they called him, and I couldn't think of it.
Fantastic, you got Lanny Poffo and HBK. Woo! Great show. Can't motherfucking wait till next week.
Me either.
And on that note, ladies and gents, we're done.
Now you need to refresh your email because people are saying they sent one in. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not
going
to do this shit all night. Like, seriously. Let's see. Actually, if you sent me a novel, it's not getting read. Ashley, you sent me a fucking novel. It's not getting read. I will read this on Unplugged. I am not reading this tonight. It's time to end the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Like I said, if you write me a novel, I'm not reading it tonight.
So let's recap. We've had dripping clits. We've had yeast-infected pussies. We were supposed to have China, but somebody suggested she's fucking a horse.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Typical Wrestling News Live.
Oh, my goodness.
Apparently Don Bronx says next week he's sending me roses and War and Peace. Awesome.
All right.
My made man, are you going to whack me? I'm afraid China might have been whacking somebody. That's why she couldn't show up tonight.
I don't know, but I think it's awfully ironic that the two guys in her film, their last name was Stone.
I guess you're going to be in the next Vivid video. I'm really disappointed.
I'll fuck that blonde. You know what? The girls that are in the video with China, I'd fuck them. Oh, yeah.
I tell you what, man. I'm really disappointed in China. If there was a scheduling problem, that's fine. I just know it was confirmed with me today.
I think she had a time zone issue.
Maybe that's what it was, but it was confirmed with me for 11:30 Eastern, which is the time we go on the air. Hence, that's why I started the show 5 minutes earlier.
So that we could
bring her on at the top of the show.
I gave her an hour. People want to hear what she has to say, so.
But, I'm not going to, just stop my show and fucking drop things when you call in an hour late.
Oh, my goodness.
Schedule. That's what we do here. Anyway, on that note, I'm an asshole. I'm not Mr. Anderson, but I am an asshole.
You are such an asshole.
And on behalf of the Trey Dog.
You know what? I got a request for a song of the night.
Oh, you would do that. What's your request?
I'm an asshole.
Well, I don't have that, unfortunately. But you know what? We'll play it next week. I will. That's my intro music next week. I'm an asshole.
You are a dick.
On that note, on behalf of the Outlaw, the IWC, I'm JJ. I'm a dick sexy.
That's me. Oh, my goodness.
And we'll see you next week for another episode of Wrestling News Live. Causecast tomorrow, regular time.
Dun, dun, dun.
10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time.
Dun, 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 dun.
Pro Wrestling Rewind with Mercedes Martinez this Wednesday night. Check it out. Another edition of Beyond the Bell, archived on Friday. Unplugged, back with myself. What Would Fans Do? Saturday, podcast. Check it out. And then Sunday we're back with Sunday Night Showdown for Capital Punishment. And that's your week on the network. So,
and then next week,
Lanny Poffo, Shawn Michaels, Wrestling News Live.
Yeah.
Oh, it's real. So on that note, JSK, please take us out of here. I need my cow gone.
Play us the music, bitch.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
After this show, we definitely need to take some higher ground.
We should always look for the higher ground.
Can somebody tell me why there's a whole bunch of divas doing a fucking line dance in the fucking ring? I'm out of here.
To get a higher ground, I want to say happy birthday to Adam Martin. Keep on keeping a preacher.
over with. Show's over, motherfucker.
China.
Take our fucking shit!
Just sailing on the higher ground.
We at Wrestling News Live always take the higher ground. Oh, it's true.
Live is not affiliated with the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and or entertainment companies, and exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line, 'cause Stone Cold said so, you dumb sons of bitches.